up? What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 98 of Value Town. I'm Chan Man V. He's Noxious.
Yep.
He's me. TJ. Welcome back, TJ. And he is, who is Dan Zimborski, is basically what the entire chat's been saying this time.
You can just refer to me as who is Dan Zimborski.
He's the random guy that we just decided to choose. He's the lucky Patreon winner that gets the chance to be on Value Town this week. No, Dan is an ESPN writer. He covers Hearthstone as well as baseball, so that is the most unusual combination I don't think that we've heard of, at least in this space. So why Hearthstone and baseball, Dan?
Well, it started out as baseball, and then when we got into esports, right. I wanted to do the Hearthstone, so it was logical.
It was logical.
Doesn't sound logical, but it was.
Okay, all right, good stuff. And then TJ, how's it going, brother? Host, caster, everything great and talented in Hearthstone. How you doing, man?
Doing well, man. Great to be on the show again. Love new cards. Been waiting for new cards for a long time, so yeah. It's great to talk about them.
Well, we love talking cards with you too, man. Just with your amazing deck ideas. We just had to have you back for this last big finale of the pre-release reveal. Noxious, I saw you streaming some Hearthstone earlier. Good stuff. Getting ready for tomorrow, right?
Yeah, I mean,
right?
I'm getting excited for tomorrow, personally. Yeah. Like, again, I haven't really played Hearthstone in the past month. Not much, at least. I find that the metagame's been getting to me too much that I don't enjoy it at all. I like, when you start not enjoying playing Burgle Rogue, you know something's wrong, right? Like, you know you take a break, and I took a break, and I'm ready to get back in. Yeah. And it's kind of interesting to me that we have this cast today, because TJ is more of the, I don't really care about your fun stuff. I'm just going to play the real deck. So you guys ask me about a card, I'll tell you how competitively viable it is. Whereas Chanman and I are more on the fun side of things.
What?
Where
you obviously didn't watch our last episode, because TJ was the complete opposite.
I don't know, man. Last time he was on with me, he went...
I've changed.
He's changed. He's definitely changed.
The boredom of the metagame got to you, and you had to start experimenting too, then.
It was about the 2000th shaman. I had faced.
Yes. The guy's like, I'm a changed man now. I play meme priest.
Exactly.
Sparked in my chest.
Yeah, I know.
You found the light when it comes to Hearthstone.
Suddenly just started imagining every card with a bounce effect.
With a bounce effect. That's pretty much what happened last episode. Goya somehow became the best card in
the set.
In the set. It was amazing. Yeah. But no, guys, that's what we're going to do today. You can see the topics are very limited today. We've got basically a crap load of cards to talk about. Yep. So I want to make sure we had ample time for that. So we'll be doing that. Of course, we will be introducing our smile segment this week, because we made our milestone. We made our smile milestone. Yes. So thank you so much to all the patrons for doing that. And we'll be doing that somewhere in the middle. So definitely be on the lookout for that. Some patrons have, at least one of our patrons has a Mechatorp card for us to look at too. So we'll do that really quickly. And then we'll finish off with some more cards and then Q&A. We got some email questions that we didn't quite get to last week, as well as some new ones that we will read off. Okay, let's just go right into the cards, guys. I've tried to figure out a way to divide this up since there's so many. I figured we'd group them by class and then try to talk to them kind of like in a set. So we're going to start off with a little bit of, I guess, a little bit interesting class, or one that got, I feel like, a lot of interesting tools, which is Shaman. Like, Shaman didn't need any help or anything. So we're going to start off with this. I feel like I'm missing one here. Oh, the Guardian. The Guardian, of course. So the Guardian stuff is actually in addition to White Eyes, but, or part of White Eyes. Okay, so Shaman, already powerful, and we've only talked about maybe a few of them, given that they're 9 total cards. So this is like the last half of the cards. And why don't we start off with a Finder's Keeper? It's a 1-mana spell. It's an epic card. Discover a card with Overload. Overload 1. So Dan, since you're new to the show, we'll have you start off. Like, what do you think about this card?
I'm not a fan of the card. It's a meh card.
Meh card.
It's not the word meh. M-E-H, meh.
Okay, all right.
It's, you're already spending 2 mana on it. I mean, there's some great cards you can draw with the Overload, but there's also some pretty lousy ones.
Yeah. I mean, I think most of the Overload cards are pretty good, though, right? For the most part. What's a worse Overglowed card you guys can think of?
Finders Keepers.
Finders Keepers. Yeah. That's true. You can. Yeah, that's true. You can draw
if
back.
You streak them. You that's pretty back. Much the.
Oh my god.
I guess Forked Lightning would come a close second if you're looking for raw value in the current environment. It's really hard to get like a ton of power out of it, but yeah, I mean, this is definitely on the bad side. But it's also, I think Blizzard wanted to give every class, or at least a lot of classes, a discover effect. Like, you know, I know a guy for Warriors, Draenei below for Rogues. Paladins have a Light and Darkness. Shamans are getting Finders Keepers. So they're going with that theme a little bit everywhere, except they're being a bit cautious with what they're giving Shaman. And I think, like, it's fine that they don't get a super good card. One of the things that this does, by the way, that I like, though, is that it's actually not too bad as a one-of in control Shaman. Like, it's okay. I don't mind it there as a one-of.
Yeah.
Well, the one thing about this card is that there's really not that many Overload cards. Think about it. So if you really want something specific in the deck,
7/7.
Yeah, or you know, if you really want burn, you're probably going to find burn because there's a lot of burn spells that are overload. Yeah. So if you want, if it'd probably be good in like if Malygo Shaman ever becomes good, Finders Keepers is going to be super sick. And also, I think it'd be good in like Nasha said, in Control Shaman, because there's a lot of turns where if you're planning on like unlocking your crystals the next turn anyway, like if you Elemental Destruction late in the game, or if you use a lot of Overload late in the game as a control-y Shaman, which the, it seems like the, with the new cards is trying to be pushed, then it's a good like little spell to add on to your floating mana and then unlock your crystals next turn anyway. So it's not good on paper, but I think it's going to find a home somewhere in somebody's deck somewhere.
I think I'm the most optimistic out of all you guys about this card, because I tend to kind of go in a little bit further down that route, TJ, where I think it's a very flexible card. You can find card draw, you can find burn, you can find giant minions, board clears from overload cards. So getting a chance to pick from three and not just get a random one is a pretty big deal.
Well, that's a plus.
Yeah, it's definitely a pretty big deal.
You can only get one Dust Devil.
I think it's only good really in Control Shaman, because you want all the burn for control tools. You want the AoE. You can want one single late game threat. Like that, I think that's where it shines the most of all the decks.
I think it's pretty good with Trog right now. I think I always have this dream of Unbound Elemental, so it's like I'm going to try it regardless with the stupid card too. But,
well, the one thing about like aggressive Shamans or even like mid-range Shaman is they always want to be doing
board.
Something that's was planned, you know. Yeah. They always want to be. Yeah. They don't want to really deviate from a game plan based off of, you know, new information.
True, but at the same
time, it sounds like a weird thing to say, but you know, that's what mid-range decks are. They don't really want to have something that is an unaccountable variable. So I think it's only in the extremes, in like super aggro maybe, or control. Like, I don't think it finds a place to fit in with the current, like, mid-range Shaman.
Oh, definitely not the current one. The current one doesn't even, like, reward you that much for Overload anyways. So,
Yeah.
It would have to be, I think if I were to use it, it would be definitely much more of an aggro or your typical, you know, minion-heavy aggro type of deck, more so than what we see right now with the totems. And I mean, it's a dynamic deck right now, even though it's mid-range Shaman or whatever. Okay, moving on. Jade Claws, another Overload card. Another weapon, too, for Shaman. It's 2 mana, 2/2, or 2 attack, 2 durability. Rare card, Battlecry, summon a Jade Golem. So this is, again, another one of these cards.
This card is broken. Turn 1, Spirit Claws. Turn 2, Jade Claws. Jeez. Power creep.
Yeah, exactly right. So,
obviously.
Definitely going to be in a Jade Golem type of deck, but then you're going to have to make that decision. The one that you just brought up, TJ, like, do you play Spirit Claws or do you play Jade Claws? If you play both, then you have to, you know, you can't play them back to back because you're just going to be, you know, replacing one with the other. So to actually play these efficiently, even remotely close to each other, you have to wait 2 or 3 turns. So, what do you guys think? Good card, bad card, Noxious?
I'm struggling to evaluate it because on one end, I want to say it's like just a good one of in mid-range Shaman, okay, even if you don't play Jade Golem because you don't have to push it. Because it still curves like Stormforged Axe instead of Totem Golem when you whiff on the opener and you have just Trog.
Yeah.
And it's always fine. It summons minimum a 1-1. That's fine. Like, even if it said, if it read Battle Cry, summon a 1-1, whatever the fuck you want to call that minion, then, you know, do you play a 2-mana 2-2 weapon that summons a 1-1? Like, that's the question, ultimately, that I ask myself out of Jade Golem decks. Because the Jade Golem tools they have are, like, Jade Lightning, this, and the 7-drop. One of the upsides of this card is that it actually creates a curve in Jade Golem decks. Because you've got Jade Claws on 2, turn 3, you do whatever else you want. 4, you've got Jade Lightning. Then you transition 5, 6, do something else. 7, you drop your next Jade Golem tool. So it creates a natural curve to the Jade Golem deck. But, like, I feel like Shaman just doesn't want a Jade Golem. Like, on average, you get to your 7-drop and your Jade Golem is going to be, what, a 3-3? Like, from what I've looked at, it's like a 3-3 or a 4-4 at most. That just doesn't seem appealing. So if it sees play, I don't know. I feel like it's not going to be... I mean, it's going to be in Jade Golem, but not going to be the strongest there.
Yeah, I definitely don't see Shaman ever getting to those wacky, like, 10-10 Jade Golems. They don't have that Jade Idol that allows you to you know, get a lot of Jade Idols up to really ramp up to something late game. So I think you're right there with Noxious. It's never going to be crazy big, but I don't know. Dan, what do you think, man?
I like the card. It's even in the worst case scenario, it's only a little worse than Stormforged Axe. And I think if you're playing the Jade Golem deck, it's terrific because it doesn't take much to get tremendous value from it. Even one Jade Golem, then all of a sudden it's a 2-2 summoning a 2-2. And that's pretty darn good, I think, because it helps the Shaman survive to power up the Golems. I don't know if it'll work, but between there, they need the weapons to get them to that point.
Right. TJ?
I don't know. I'm a little bit torn on this card just because when do you... At least until Totem Golem's gone. Because when do you... Most of the time, you're just going to mulligan it away for Totem Golem. And then you'd always rather have Totem Golem, almost always rather have Totem Golem. And then I guess there's room for, like, well, if you Totem Golem on two and you have two men the next turn, Jade Claws is perfect. But
I think the...
And you're not really curving anything on four, and you'd rather just have the second Totem Golem. I don't know.
I mean, it's another 2-drop that goes well with Trog, too. So, you're going to get... What, a 2-3 and a 1-1, and you're probably removing whatever's on the board. That's a pretty good start. That's not Totem Golem, right? So,
well, Totem is also a good just pressing play. Totem
right
on two. So, like, I don't know.
So, here's my question: if this card read Battle Cry, summon a Searing Totem, would it be good?
No,
with Tink from Below. See, that's the question. Because if your answer to that is no, then it's just not going to be played in mid range. I think it's fine.
Yeah, like, I think it's fine too.
Like, I look at it as like this allows you to reintroduce Argent Squire and Shaman, right, as a 1-drop, because it lets you get like you can treat the claws as like an abusive sergeant in a way, because you get a 1-1 body on the board, you have 2 attack from it, and so you curve and you keep the weapon for the following turn. So aggro can actually use this in a weird way.
One thing is that Shamans have been getting very blue. I'm glad to see Blizzard give them some green. I'm really glad.
All right, that's about the strongest argument
the
right there.
Best analysis,
I agree.
Right there.
I absolutely agree. All right, let's move on. 4-mana Lotus Illusionist, an epic card, 3/5 body. After this minion attacks a hero, transform it into a random 6-cost minion. All right, TJ, what do you think?
6-drops are pretty good. Moonglade Portal, that's the other random 6-cost minion, and there's a lot of good 6-drops. You know, like average 6-drop is like around a 5/5. There's some ones that can swing a game really heavily, like Sunwalker. And also, you think how often a 3/5, a 4-mana 3/5, has the opportunity to attack face, and that's a lot. You know, like 4-mana 3/5s have the opportunity to attack face a lot, but how often do you want to attack face with a 3/5 and leave, whatever minions they played on 4, whatever they played on 4? It has a chance to punish, but it's like, where does it fit? And you know what? I've made that my goal in life
I'm telling you, where is everything fits?
It fits in Evolve Shaman. That's where it fits. You play there, it becomes a six, you make it a seven.
Seven drops are bad, though. Seven drops are worse than six drops.
No, but this whole thing, like, you're not even, like, attacking board, though. It is...
Wind Fury!
I actually really like the card because it creates this really difficult dynamic. You know, I had trying to figure out how to even play this card. So
actually, I think this is the type of card you play as a board control tool in the early game, and then you turn it into a threat in control decks and control shaman late game. Does that make sense?
You kill a minion early on, and then you force them to trade into it in order to not like turn a 3-1 into a 6-drop.
It's a taunt, basically. Yeah, it's almost like a Singin.
I think most of the time, it's just a Singin with a pseudo-taunt on it.
Right.
Because even if a 3-5 has the opportunity to attack quite a bit, typically, there's a definite motivation to not let this card attack. So I don't think it will trigger as much as you would want it to. I don't see this being a huge card, to be honest.
I think I might play it in Control Shaman in conjunction with the Water Speaker. Like, I don't mind it. I think it creates, like, a mid-range control deck for Shaman when you have these, like, 4-4 drops together. You have something to do with it.
Yeah,
I'm sure you can make a more minion-heavy, control-ish Shaman deck.
Yeah. Okay, next up is Jinyu Water Speaker. 4 mana, a rare card, 3-6, Battlecry, restore 6 health, and Overload 1. So I actually see this card as a way to fill some of the gap that's going to be gone when Healing Wave is gone. But But Overload 1, I was actually surprised they put the Overload on it, actually.
Well, 4 mana 3-6 is really good.
I know, but...
Like, a 4 mana 3-6 is, like, a good body. And then slap on Restore 6 health.
Yeah.
Like, look at the hit that Minibot took for it to restore 8 health. Like, it was a 5 mana 3-3. And this guy's a 4 mana 3-6. You know, if it didn't have Overload, then I'd be like, whoa.
No, I mean, it's not really so much the value as much as, like, making a 4-drop another, like, Overload 1. Because, I don't know, especially with, like, Wide Eyes next, right? Like, or following it up with a 5-drop. It's going to be hard to play this card and then have to take a hit the following turn just from a standpoint of tempo. So that's one of the things. Is that what you like about it? Okay, that's one of
the things. Yeah, because you can play more 4-drops. That's why the Lotus Illusionist looks better in that context. Or even the Fiery Guard Destroyer. Like, if you want to build a lineup of 4-mana 3-6s, they both have Overload, right? Destroyer and this one.
Yeah.
And you can guarantee a 4-mana 3-6 with an upside in both cases. So I think, if your 4-cost curve is filled there, then your turn 4 is a 4-drop, your turn 5 is a 4-drop, your turn 6 is a 6-drop. So you can skip 5. Like Shaman so much like to do, actually. Like, they just kind of fill turn 5 until good stuff happens.
Yeah, yeah. It works well with Unbound Elemental, too.
Yeah, it actually does.
One of these days.
I feel like I've heard that before.
One of these days.
With every card.
every card of you, it's like, oh my God.
Oh, man.
Unbound. Like, it's a dream. People reviewing Flamer's Basis are like, 4-mana 7-7.
Build around Unbound Elemental.
But one thing's for sure, it's really good with Unbound Elemental.
Hell yeah, boy.
Every single time, you're like, Unbound's not a good card, dude. Yeah. Stop pushing it. It's not good enough. It needs to come in with its own Overload and self-buff.
Well, given that there's a dragon one that just automatically buffs itself once at 3 mana, it's definitely not good compared to that. But do you think this card is enough to still allow for Shaman to have control?
I think so. Okay. It's a good card because Control Shaman looks for ways to survive, and this at least can help clear the board a little better so that the health is meaningless. It's not like a Restore 6 spell, in which case it doesn't do anything to the board, and then it just delays your death by a turn. I think it's a cool card.
Yeah, I think it's definitely going to be useful. Okay, moving on. White Eyes. It's a legendary, first legendary we're doing today. 5-drop, 5-5 body with taunt. So yet another, just a 5-5 with taunt that Shaman can play with. Death Rattle, shuffle the Storm Guardian into your deck. And the Storm Guardian, guys, is a 5-mana, but a 10-10 taunt that you can play at a later time. So there's definitely mixed reactions with this card. Some people think it's way too slow. Some people think it's actually really, really good. What are you guys' thoughts, Dan?
Oh, I love the card. I think Blizzard has kind of learned that to play slow cards, you actually have to have a stat line that compensates to some degree for the time you've lost. And I think one of the problems we've seen in a lot of the expansions is so many of the slow cards and slow styles don't have that real payoff at the end. And I think Blizzard's getting, I think this is the kind of stat line that you need for a card like this to be playable. I don't think it's amazing. I think it's good. But I mean, I don't think it's tremendous or anything.
Okay.
It's really good with Unbound Elemental.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
Gotcha.
All right. Thoughts? Too slow? Good? TJ, what do you think?
I think it's just, I mean, it's just pretty good. That's it. Mm-hmm. It's nothing like too fancy. I don't think it'll be like an auto include, but you know, pretty much everybody is going to try and put this in the most shaman decks at first. Yeah. It's pretty good in control because it's slower, but like it's also pretty good for mid range because it's just a 5-mana 5/5 taunt.
A taunt, yeah.
It's a fine top deck, I guess. Because that's one of those things that, like, I look at this card and I say, if this didn't have taunt, it just like trash tier, delete from the game, gone. But because it has taunt and it forces itself to die, I'll accept it. How I look at this. I don't think the card is super exciting. I don't think a 5-mana 10/10 is any better than a 4-mana. Like, it could be a 30-30 for all I care. Like, if it sticks and you hit, you win. Like, it doesn't matter that it's a 10-10 over 12-12 or 15-15. I just...
Oh, come on. There's a big difference between a 30-30 and a 10-10. Yes, there is.
There's Shadow of Death.
You sound like Ray now. There's no difference between a 30-30 and a 10-10.
There is none in this game. I'm sorry, dude. Like, a 10-10 or 20-20, there's no difference.
I mean,
if Deathwing was a 30-30, it'd be an auto-include in most decks.
In Deathwing?
Yeah, that one was a 30-30.
It's a one hit kill for sure after if it lives, where a 10-10's not, right? It's
literally, I mean, on turn 10, they have to have removal or they lose.
Now, while I agree that there's a limited utility towards stats past a certain point, I think with the taunt, the stats become a little better. Simply
right.
Because
that's the whole reason the taunt is viable at all.
Yeah. I think it's interesting in a Nazoth deck too. You know, maybe Shaman can run Nazoth with this and get two extra giant cards with it. You know, just
yeah,
to maybe
that's
use.
Very slow. Yeah. I think this card would be. I think this card would be auto included if it was Battlecry.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Oh yeah, God, sure. Yes. Yep. You sap this, no problem.
Brand, baby, Brand too.
Yeah, because then you could Brand. Well, Brand, I don't think it's. No, Brand is still around for a bit, right?
Yeah, 4 months.
Yeah,
4 months. But if even just being able to slam White Eyes into Storm Guardian next turn.
Yeah,
this is going to be like a 1 in 20, but hey,
I mean, that's the beauty, like Dan was saying, right? This isn't Archmage or just Rafam, right? This isn't where it's like, okay, you're playing on 9 and then you have to wait use your entire turn just to play that next card. You can actually do stuff with Storm Guardian the following turn, so mm-hmm. It's pretty big swing if you can get it off. But
you can play Unbound Elemental.
Yes, you can. You can play Unbound Elemental and your Finder's Keeper, and then your you know, Jinyu Flutter Speaker too. There you go.
It's way too good, right, man. Right, exactly. It's too good.
All right, let's move on. Going from Shaman, gonna bring up some Rogue cards now. Yeah, Rogue. Sweet.
I'm kind
Rogue,
of excited.
Yeah.
That's just because stuff bounces, and I'm like, yeah, I like bouncing cards.
You like bouncing cards? Okay, all right. Yeah, so let's start off with the first one. 2 mana, 2/3, Gadgetzan Ferryman, rare card. Speaking of bounce combo, return a friendly minion to your hand. All right, let's hear some of these decks now, TJ. Here we go. Let's hear it.
Do you have my thoughts on this? Go ahead.
Yeah, no, actually, Nox, why don't you start, actually?
Me or Nox? Yeah.
Nox, go.
Okay, sure. So I think this card is better than Brewmaster in decks that play a hyper aggro. Like, imagine hyper aggros with a bunch of one drops. Some of those battle cries you want to reuse, some you don't. Sometimes you can't play Shadow Step in those decks because it doesn't offer a board control in any way. And I think Gadgetzan Ferryman fits the 1-mana board flood, like Zoo Rogue, like the hyper aggro rogue that can sometimes zoo you down. I don't think it's like the fact that it offers redundancy with Brewmaster, so you can play four of them if you really want to go crazy on bounce instead of Shadowcaster, is not too bad. It's still a really bad minion, but worst case scenario, it's a 2-mana 2/3. Like, I don't see all the hate for the card. I think it's an okay one. I think it should have been common, though. Doesn't feel like in Arena, okay, for instance. Like, I would have rather had that in Shadow Rager.
Okay,
you know? Yeah, you'll see this in Arena. I mean, because you see Youthful Brewmaster in Arena. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, every expansion, there's always like some crazy battle cry, and someone always tries to stick like a youthful brewmaster in the deck, and it never really quite works out because a lot of times you just have a 3/2 that sometimes you don't want to bounce something back. It's almost filler. It's interesting. I can see a few kind of edge cases in which you would want to play this, but it's an arena card, I think.
DJ. Oh boy, I'm getting ready.
Well, the thing about this card is that there's more battle cries being put into the game.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's a lot more. Yeah. Like every time they make new cards, it feels like there's more and more battle cries. I mean, just look at statistics. 50% of the cards that we're looking at on screen right now are battle cries. So 50% of the cards in the game must be battle cry.
Yeah.
Based on the statistics of our conversation. I think that this card is a lot better than Brewmaster because of the fact that you have to have a combo for it. And I think that this card could definitely see play in constructed decks. I haven't taken a look at it too much just because like it's hard for me to wrap my head around it because there's just so many battle cries and I'm never good at predicting decks. But this card's definitely going to be getting wild. That's for sure.
Okay.
Because there's even more battle cries in wild. But like being able to, the only thing that I see about this is a lot of people confuse combo with battle cry. And you know, I've seen people saying things like, you know, the double combo effects. So like if you combo something and you bring it back, you know, you have to wait another turn before you can combo it again. Usually like Edwin, you're not gonna be able to bounce Edwin back very much. It's not like Shadowcaster where you can get an additional one, but would Shadowcaster be good? I don't know. I think this card will see play in constructed, but I don't think that it'll be like a staple in any super hyper competitive decks. But I'm definitely looking forward to seeing the things that people do with both Brewmasters, Gadgetzan Ferryman, and Goya.
Yeah.
Goya, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think of some crazy things. I mean, we definitely have seen the infinite kind of Shadowcaster decks that are amazing, right? And they're fun as crap to play and very difficult to play, too.
Well, so, if you look at, like, even the card on the end here, the Lucky Dude Buccaneer.
Yeah.
Yes.
You can make that thing pretty big.
It's unplayable. Point is, like, it's a 2-mana 2/3 that has a very niche effect, and it might work, but for the most part, it probably won't do like a tremendous amount of work for Rogue.
Yeah, right? I mean, the Rogue is interesting because I think this is like one of the mini themes, you know, just like returning stuff or trying to enable battle cries that are super powerful, you know, and things like that, or copying, you know, just existing minions or whatnot, but. God, it still doesn't fix the issue with like tempo for Rogue, you know, and that's the only thing I would say about that. It's cool to have extra Brewmasters, but you know, it's like I'd almost rather see it in more like you said, common or just not a non-class card than actually having it just as Rogue. But anyways, going on to the next one, let's just move on. Shadow Rager, 3-mana, 5/1 stealth. Some more Ragers, yes. But the thing is, like, we should talk about the next one too, which is the 4-mana Shadow Sunsei rare 4/4 Battlecry give stealth minions +2/+2. So there's obviously a theme too with Rogue that they're introducing here. We're gonna have stealth minions, which I always thought was kind of on the fringe or on the fence with being non-interactive minions. But maybe this is a way to help tempo with Rogue. But it's obviously a theme for them. So now they're even buffing stealth only minions, which is kind of interesting, which has led to even counter cards like revealing stealth minions, what we'll talk about later. What do you think about stealth generally? And then what do you think about Shadow Rager?
Stealth is just, it's never been that powerful in effect. I mean, there's a few cards where it takes a big advantage of it, but the problem is that a really good stealth card would suddenly get way too valuable, as you saw.
Yeah.
In a few occasions. I mean, Shadow Rager, it's going to be played as much as the other Ragers. Because really the only difference between Shadow Rager and, say, Patient Assassin is going face. Because Patient Assassin, you can look as do infinite damage to a minion. And that doesn't get played.
Okay, sure.
The benefit of stealth is usually like hiding something that you want to live for another turn because of an effect that it has. Even if you look at the stealth minions that are just played because of their stats, like Stranglethorn Tiger, still you want it to live because a lot of times it's a beast. So the decks that play it, you know, beast or hunters and beast druids are the two that, you know, come to mind the most. They want it to live because it has the second effect that it's also a beast, or like, you know, if you stealth a Gathering Action here or things like that. And those things don't happen enough to where you could see it being played. They look good next to each other. You're like, oh, Shadow Rage or a turn three stealth minion, and then Shadow Sensei, a turn three or turn four minion that buffs stealth. But I think you'd almost always have Jungle Panther in that situation.
Yeah, that's the biggest stat
distribution.
Yeah.
But it doesn't die to like a one mana effect. It won't die to Maelstrom Portal or Whirlwind or Ravaging Ghoul or Swipe or anything like that. So I don't think, and Jungle Panther also has a beast tag. So in a situation where you do want beast, if you're playing a Menagerie deck or something like that, Shadow Rager doesn't even have a tag. So I think that this card is just worse than Jungle Panther in most situations. Yep. And in every other situation, the one damage doesn't really make up for anything.
Yeah, I think the only way that there might be consideration, and I still think that there's a small percent chance that this card may be viable if they add more stealth buffing type of minions that are cheap too. It'd have to be like a one mana buff all. I mean, if you could buff this thing to a 6/2, I mean, that's a lot different story, like than a 4/3.
Or you could have a 5/3 Jungle Panther.
No. What I'm saying is, like, having, like, you want more stealth minions, like, in addition to, like, Jungle Panther and
that's so like
I think Silent Knight is the best case scenario. Shaku and Silent Knight are the two best ones.
Yeah, and that kind of thing, too. So it'd be pretty crazy to imagine, but a rogue deck that has, like, 10 stealth minions or something like that. I don't know if they're trying to go that route, but it's tough because stealth is a powerful thing. And the reason why we haven't had powerful stealth minions is because stealth is a powerful thing. So it's going to be, I don't know if they can balance that into something that's actually going to be viable and not broken. So it'd be interesting. Shadow Sensei, you know, go ahead.
Yeah. It's going to be Moroza's time to shine.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah, that'd be interesting. Moroza at 3/3, baby.
I don't think Moroza being buffed is much of a big deal. Because, like, you still want to keep him stealthed so he never dies. So, I don't know, man.
Well, it makes it harder to kill him. But so, wait a couple more turns
to
kill
three
him.
Meta, I think 3 mana 2/2, 3 mana 2/3 is where it does, like, with Shaku and Silent Knight.
Am I still muted?
Yeah. Oh, no. Sorry. I can hear you now.
Oh, no. What I was saying is you would need a lot more synergy with stealth minions to make something like this playable. Because what's the dream? You just get +2/+2, and you need to have this card to do it. Yeah. You can't just do it for one.
Yeah, it needs to be like all. It needs to be an all type of thing. Yeah. I mean, they've done it with Grimy Goons decks or cards. They need to do something like that, I think, with the stealth ones, just to have some viability. Which leads down to the, you know, again, like if they don't make stealth strong and stealth is a theme for rogues, then all these cards are not going to be played. It's and like doesn't Beast help Druid. Rogue, you know, it's yeah, kind of like Beast Druid. Exactly.
Yeah, but that's fine. I don't want Beast Druid to be good because as long as Menagerie Warden is in the meta, it's
already good. Buddy.
Shit out of me, but
it's already good. It's just not better than Malagos.
Right. I think Malagos Druid might struggle when Raven Idol goes away. I think that deck is just dead. Living Roots and Idol going away just kills that deck.
Yeah,
I've looked at it like a dozen ways, and I can't even like. There's no replacement for those cards yet.
Jade's not bad for Jade Idol replacing. I don't know, Raven maybe isn't so terrible.
Jade Golem Malagos or Jade Golem straight up.
I mean, it's just spells and I mean, you can just. I don't think it's a terrible replacement for it because you can still do the Arcane Giants and stuff, but.
I mean, we still have one more set until they go away.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And we still have the cards to come in the future. All right, Lucky Doe Buccaneer. So, you know, we were talking about it. It's epic card, 5/5 Pirate, 6 mana. Battlecry, if your weapon has at least 3 attack, gain +4/+4. And 3 attack, pretty easy to get with Rogue, with Deadly Poison, and just with your hero power. So I can see this being a 9/9 very, very often. That's pretty damn good.
It's not a 9/9.
It's not a 9/9.
It's very
solid. If it started at 6/6 and it became +3/+3, I'd be like, sure. When it's a 5/5 baseline, it's a bit of a different story, but yeah.
Well, I think that rogues have like definitively the best pirate cards in the game now. Yeah. I could see like a mid-range pirate rogue deck being okay. You know, Southsea Squidface synergizes pretty well with this card. Just Southsea Squidface is not that great of a card anyway. You know, rogues also have just been getting a sprinkling of pirate cards in the past couple of sets. Swashburglar is a pirate card. People will often forget about that because it's not played in pirate decks. It's just played as a
draw.
1-1 to get random spells. Yeah. And they have Buccaneer, which came a few sets ago, which, you know, is a good early way to buff your weapon. And they also have Shady Dealer, which can be a lot of power early on. I mean, that's a 3-mana
5/4.
Yeah, that's a card that's just been waiting to be good.
Yeah, for 5/4.
Yeah.
So I think like some type of pirate rogue that plays similarly to Dragon Warrior. Yeah,
exactly.
Where this is sort of fits the bill of Dragon Did Crusher in the deck. You know, you could even play like an Assassin's Blade, because turn 5 Assassin's Blade into Lucky Do Buccaneer is not too bad. And, you know, Assassin's Blade could allow you to play your powerful minions while being able to control the board, which is, you know, what Dragon Warrior does. So I can see like sort of that type of mid-rangey, aggressive-ish pirate rogue being very similar deck to Dragon Warrior.
Yeah.
With this card in it.
Yeah, I think that's a good parallel for sure. It'd be great to see that. We could just get a mid-range value rogue. That's like everybody's dream forever now.
People don't remember the days of like the Defender of Argus.
We remember that in the freaking beta.
Do you really want that back?
But mid-range rogue or tempo rogue used to be one of the most oppressive decks in the game when Novice Engineer was a 1/2 and
Defias was like what?
Defias was a 2/2/2/2
Like 2/3/2/1 2/3/2/1 That's what it was. Gosh,
2/3/2/1
Coin Defias, you were set.
Yeah,
that was really nightmarish.
All right, let's go into Warlock now. Warlock, obviously a lot of demons being, or at least the demon theme being added, were stressed this release. And the first one is a demon. It's a 3-mana 0/7. No threat there from the tag. Street Trickster. Common spell damage +1. I don't know. What do you guys think of this card? You think this card is good on its own? Good maybe from some of these other cards that actually summon demons or whatnot? Just with the removal?
Not enough spells.
Really? Yeah, I added a bunch of spells, right?
Like, this is not for just Warlocks. This is for everyone.
Yeah, this is for everyone. Oh, this is a neutral card. No, I shouldn't. I added this with the Warlock group. Yeah,
it's bad in Warlock, probably, but it's good elsewhere. I mean,
yeah, Warlock doesn't have the burn to do that.
Yeah,
I thought I saw the purple border. My bad.
Yeah.
Oh, well, then I still...
It's all right-ish.
I still don't. I mean, maybe you play it in Priest, actually. A Priest playing Demon. That'd be amazing.
Demon Priest.
Yeah, dude, demon get some inner fire. Come on, Noxious.
It's like
the inner fire, baby.
If you get Doomslayer on 2 followed with this, it's pretty sweet. Like, you just draw down a 0/7, and they don't want to play into it. You know how Justicar Shaman feels when they draw spell damage over spell damage over spell damage? Like, there's a...
Oh, I don't know how.
No, I actually don't.
You've never faced Control Shaman doing that, dude. It is the worst feeling in the world.
Yeah,
it's the worst feeling in the world, and it's like I can't play into anything. You play a 6/6, and the guy has like 4 spell damage totems. You can't even like think about playing.
Yeah, that's crazy.
The thing is it's not costing him a card every time he does it. It's only costing him the slot of Justicar, which has other value. Whereas this card literally does nothing else. It doesn't contest the board. It doesn't, you know, it only has spell damage attached to it. So, and I don't think it's good enough as a combo card, because like Kobold or Blood Mage would fill a combo deck even better because they're cheaper and they also have a body. And of course, Blood Mage also has the draw effect, and Evolve Kobold is only 1 mana more, and like +2 spell damage is huge, especially when you're comboing multiple spells together. So it's like,
We need to get like the way I envision this card being used is if there's ever a critical mass of these types of cards where, you know, Dragonfire Potion, Fellfire Potion clean up the board in the mid game. But this card coming down basically saves you 7 health. And if they don't deal with it, you get a good clear. And if you don't get a good clear now, you're guaranteed to get one in the mid game. So they have to basically like address it. Kind of like Doomslayer is how I look at this. You almost can't let this live. any more than you can let Doomsayer live. So it's like an extra neutral healing tool in the early game, and it's got some spell damage applications later. I don't think it's great, don't get me wrong, but
yeah, Doomsayer is definitely way better, just because and
right, it just kills things if it lives.
Yeah, so. Exactly, and it's cheaper too. All right, let's move on. So this Warlock card, 3 mana, 5/5 demon, unlicensed apothecary epic. Whenever you summon a minion, deal 5 damage to your hero. So you get a nice big body at 3 mana, but damn, you're gonna be taking some damage if you want to play something behind it too.
It's a tricky card because simply, I mean, anytime you have a 5/5 for 3 mana, you have to at least think about the card because that's a great stat line. But the problem is, like, an aggressive Warlock deck that really wants to get that early and doesn't mind taking the hit, they want to be playing more cards. They don't want to be doing nothing. I don't think this is going to work, to be honest.
You're dealing more damage to yourself. dealing more damage to yourself than you're actually giving to your opponent.
It sounds like you can play it on 3 and
Blast Crystal Potion on 4.
Sure, you don't have to play
it. Sure. But then you're so limited and your opponent can just leave it up and then just like never kill it. So, and then you can't really play minions. So against like aggressive decks, you're going to be like in a race to like kill off your unlicensed apothecary while they're just hitting you in the face.
Yeah.
And then, if you're playing a zoo deck anyway, you're not going to play this because you're just going to kill yourself. And in like slower decks, Pit Lord isn't played. And that's like a one-time thing. You just take the damage and then move on with your life. And that's never seen play. So I just 5 damage is a lot. It doesn't really fit anywhere. Maybe there's going to be like a kill yourself deck.
I think it's really good at the metagame.
You win if you kill yourself.
If everything gets pushed out, like if most aggro decks get pushed out because of stuff like Volcanic Potion, then you have to start playing beefier dudes.
Oh yeah, yeah.
To get them to hit, then sure. Like I can see this being played. And then, like, the Crystal Weaver isn't even that bad. Like, it's not an amazing card, but it's okay. And if you play enough demons early, like, the 6/1 drops, you've got the Imgang boss on 3, which is a demon. You've got this guy who's on 3. The problem is it says whenever you summon a minion. It's not like whenever you play. So Imgang boss being on the board kills you. The guy playing Leeroy deals 10 damage to your face because you get 2 whelps. It's like, oh, well, I guess this is just turn 3 play or bust. Like, you play this on 3 or you just don't play it.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you could play Flame Imp on 1, coin Unlicensed Apothecary on 2,
and then
play another one on 3, and then on 4 you play Flame Imp,
and you die.
Wrathguard,
and you're dead.
I like
that combo.
Now, if you're talking a really, really, really slow hand lock, because even the classic hand lock where you're just tapping all the time, the Reno lock is a different. It has earlier cards than that. If you had a really, really late hand lock deck type deck, I think you might be able to play one of these.
And it enables Molten Giant, guys. Totally enables it.
I mean, it enables Shadow Flames for cheap if you want to play them, I guess, instead of Sergeant Sally, but I don't know. Maybe. You can play it on 3 in the Handlock deck or a Reno Lock, and then 4, you Shadow Flame it, and you're happy.
It enables losing.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe there'll be a card that does damage to your opponent based on the damage you take or something.
I thought that was the legendary we were going to get.
Yeah, something like
that. We'll get the opposite of the priest card. We'll get a card that says, if you do damage to yourself this turn, it heals you.
Great.
For that much.
All right, so let's move on to Crystal Weaver. Pretty straightforward. 4 mana, 5/4 body, which is good value. Battlecry, give your demon +1/+1. Seems pretty good to me.
Just to go back, you really think Unlicensed Apothecary is that bad? It's kind of mind-fucking with me. The stat line alone.
I think it's a cool card. I actually like how it's designed.
King Mukla played.
Yeah, and King Mukla is actually...
I think King Mukla is worse in some ways.
Well, yeah, but not by much, and it's not played.
It's less of a risk, too. I think King Mukla is... Okay, you either get advantage or you trade.
Revolve around. Yeah. Like, I guess if Hunter is good... The thing is, like, there's many decks in the meta that will come out that would just not be able to abuse your low health. The issue is if Hunter is just the most broken thing ever... then sure, that's probably not playable.
You could play
what you're targeting. Like, I could see this being good in like a tournament format where you isolate a deck.
Could also play Light's Champion.
Just to ask the demon.
Oh man. I mean, you know, if it was less damage to your hero, I think it would be much you could consider it more. Five damage is a lot, dude. I mean, you're not playing minions that can even deal five damage in some cases after this card. So you'll be doing more damage to yourself for the next two or three rounds, you know, and assuming that you keep these minions on the board. So it's
okay.
If you start reducing the damage, though, the card gets way too good too quickly. Like, sure, if it's like two damage to your hero, it'll be an insanely good card.
I mean, three every single time you play a minion. So you're basically, every one of your minions is a flame imp. That's, I don't know. I think that's balance, a pretty decent balance for it. But
at three, I don't know, dude. I play it every time, like five times in every deck.
Okay. Anyways, Crystal Reaver. We spent a lot of time on that one. Straightforward. Just, you know, buff up the damage you get out in the first three or four turns, right?
It's a lot of cheap demons.
Yeah, there's a lot of cheap demons, especially with like Imp Gang Boss too. So it's pretty solid, and you get a 5/4 to begin with too. That's solid.
Yeah, 5/4 is fine, and it does have an upside.
Yeah, for sure.
If there's a demon deck, it'll be in it.
Yeah,
I think there will be. But
4 mana is also a slot that isn't really filled in Zoo right now, so it could see play in Zoo.
Yeah,
you know, there's, especially now that Malkasar is Imp, you have Flame Imp, you have Voidwalker, you have Imp Gang Boss, you have any Imps that were summoned, you have
you've got what, Street Trickster. Demons. You've got Street Boss. Trickster here.
Unlicensed Apothecary.
Exactly.
Yeah, sure.
Let's make it a 6/6.
There's a lot.
There's a lot. This definitely a lot. All right, Blast Crystal Potion, 4 mana spell, common card. Destroy a minion in one of your mana crystals. So another removal.
I want to hear everyone's opinion on this one.
All right.
I'm not sure really. I mean, no one plays Felguard. That's what he's called. I always forget his name even.
You mean
destroying
the 3/5?
A minion is a lot better than a 3/5. You'd need a really, really slow deck to do this, and it has to be late game. You can't do this early.
I like this card. I definitely like this card.
For me.
I might not play two, but I'd play one.
Oh, no, you wouldn't play two.
I'd play one.
Mana crystals are pretty friggin' important.
Yeah, that's the problem. But we're talking, I mean, you could do it on turn 10.
Otherwise. You know, we're talking control lock, you know, Reno lock or whatever, and
I play this in Zoo.
You play this in Zoo
all
really?
Day, yeah, wow. Dude.
Wow.
Uh-uh.
Oh, come on, bro.
Then you play the mirror and you just auto lose.
Oh, wow, sure. I wouldn't play it in Zoo. That's crazy.
I play it one up in Zoo for sure. This is like,
it removes big tons for sure. You know, it's good for
it's
that.
It's so good.
And your curve would be pretty low too, right? With Zoo. So
I think I'd rather play Fist of Draxus in Zoo than this.
No, that's what I was considering, and I'm like, this is better.
I think I'd much rather play Fist of Draxus.
I mean, at least it's not random.
Oh my god, okay.
At least it's not a random.
It's not random, a Fist of Draxus can go face.
Yeah.
Fist of Draxus you can just slam on.
Alright, so how about control? Would you play this in a control lock?
Reno only.
Yeah, Reno is probably.
Just because you get to like 26 cards, you're like, eh.
Yeah, I don't care.
Is there any consideration?
It's like Dreadsteed or this.
Let's just say Jade Golem decks are awesome. Any consideration for more of these cards? Even though Jade Golems could cost one mana for your opponent.
Jade Golem is a mechanic that you have to defeat by killing them quicker than they kill you, as opposed to. Because they're going to have much better access to Jade Golems than you're going to have to removal. Right. So if you spend four mana and a mana crystal removing one Jade Golem, and then they just slam a Jade Claws on you, and you're like, oh, no.
If you're using this to kill off a 10-10, they're just going to have an 11-11 the next turn.
Exactly.
And what do you do?
Exactly.
And this is probably one of the last removals you play, too.
Yeah. Okay, well, kind of we'll see how that one plays out. Cabal Trafficker, 6 mana, 6/6 body, epic. At the end of your turn, add a random demon to your hand. All right, so you get to actually draw a demon. It's like Emperor, basically. If this thing survives each turn, you keep getting cards. You keep getting demon cards, and we have quite a few demons now. I mean, Kroll, like the next one, we've seen Unlicensed Apothecary, Street Trickster. Pretty big array of demons. So what do you guys think? Anybody?
I think it's just good. I mean,
yeah, just straight good. Yeah.
It's made for Cruel the Unshackled and Cruel the Unshackled, I guess.
Yeah, and that word makes it a good deal better.
It's okay baseline, but yeah. It's like I don't really value the demons that much personally. I don't think they're like on average that powerful.
Yeah,
but
I don't either.
Yeah. There's actually a lot of weak demons if we remember back to Bane of Doom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's Bane actually of Doom it's about equal. Like
Fringe Blade.
I think it's pretty equal.
Yeah, but the ones that are good are like situational, you know.
Jiraxxus.
Dual Jiraxxus, but since there's more demons now, there's a lot more worse ones. Like if you get a Flame Imp or a Void Caller or like a Pit Lord or a Felguard or Wrathguard or Succubus.
Mm-hmm. And we got a 7/9 even, so you could get a Cruel. You could get a Cruel and you could get an Abyssal Enforcer, a Dread Infernal. The 7/9, the big Doomguard guy, whatever.
Fearsome Doomguard.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the fact that it is like Emperor, though. Like, you have to kill this guy. Or he just continually draws. I definitely like that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Or you just say, fine, have your demons.
Really? Wow.
A 6/6 is a pretty big deal, though, I guess. So, like, if it were 5/5, I'd tell you this card is trash. As a 6/6, I'm like, okay, this demands an answer. So, you know, it does have some merit in that way. It's like six mana draw card and, well, draw a random card from a pool of cards that I don't even want to draw from. But it's draw a card, so I have something in my hand. And I think in that way, maybe it's a bit better.
Okay, cool. And then, I mean, you were talking Cruel already. 9-drop, 7/9 demon. It's a legendary battle cry. If your deck has no duplicates, so it's got to be Arena Lock, summon all demons from your hand. Actually, Cabal Trafficker could screw your deck up too if you end up getting demons that are duplicates.
No, you don't put them in your deck. You put them in your hand with the Cabal Trafficker.
Oh, right. Okay.
Cool, it still work, but I don't think this card is. I don't think it's good because your deck has to have no duplicates. But like, what demons do you want to play that you wouldn't that you'd want to hold in your hand for that long?
And then if you're plays against you, just this brawl the whole time too. So
yeah, well, not even that. It's just like you have to meet very specific conditions. It's not like Nazoth. It's where no matter when you play them throughout the game, they're coming back.
True.
They have to be in your hand, and you know they have to be demons. Mm-hmm. And Death Rattles are better than demons, in my opinion. And also, like, you get to choose to put strong Death Rattles in your deck, whereas with Cruel, it's like you're going to weaken your deck by putting demons that may or may not be good. That probably would have been played earlier. You're really going to hold Imp Game Boss in your hand until turn 9 so Cruel can pull it out? Or are you just going to play it earlier on in the game? Sure, you can put like a Doomguard in there, and it's like, yeah, turn 9, 7/9 with a charge.
Hell yeah.
But then would you really have not wanted to play Doomguard all the way up until that point?
I think so in that deck, right? Like, I think that's where you'd play it. I've seen some people try to.
I mean, you drop Cruel potentially if you.
I mean, I think Cabal Trafficker, again, like I said, Cruel is just a card because Cabal Trafficker is a thing. Like, the only reason Cruel seems remotely playable is because maybe that's your two of. Maybe Cabal Trafficker is your random two of in Reno, and you're like, oh, okay. I get a bunch of demons for free, and then I get, you know, to play Cruel.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with that.
What do you think, Dan?
I think you need a lot more demons with effects that you want to skip that are good. But since you're playing a single tech, then even those demons you're only going to have one of. I don't think it works. I mean, it's quicker than Deathwing Dragon Lord with the dragons, but
Dragons are just so much stronger, though. They have such great effects, like Ysera.
Just pull out Pit Lord, Felguard, Succubus.
Build around it.
And then when you don't have that, then you're having to play those cards.
Exactly. All right, let's do the druid and the priest card. We're definitely taking a little longer than I thought. Let's start with the druid cards here. Celestial Dreamer. So Noxious, you saw this for the first time today, right?
Yeah, Celestial Dreamer. I mean, I saw it yesterday, but I forgot to really review it and ponder what it would do in like in a game situation.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I look at it, the more I think it's. Okay, so you know what's the name of it? Okay, the Blubber Baron. Do you know what card I'm talking about?
Yeah.
3-mana, 1/1. While it's in your hand, you get +1/+1 for each battle cry that you summon.
Right.
So that's the Blubber Baron. I think this card is like a Blubber Baron. The only difference is you can play this on curve. Because Blubber Baron, in a deck with like hand buffs and like in Grimy Goons and with Doppel Gangster, The Doppelgangs 205. It's three battle cries you summon, so it gets +3/+3. So it's a three mana, really cheap, buffed up card. That's kind of how I look at this card. The only difference is this is playable on the curve. I still don't know that this is a card I'd play in non Jade Golem decks. It feels more like a Jade Golem card where you have like an average Jade Golem on a Jade Idol, like a 5/5. That's pretty big. And then you slap this on top and you get a 5/5 on top of that. It's just like.
Yeah, it's definitely gone. I mean, it's definitely something you don't play on turn three, right? I mean, you don't want to, but even if you have to, it's not the worst in the world. But I mean, you're going to play this more like on turn 5, 6, or 7 to try to get a 5/5, right?
I think
right?
6 and 7 is definitely where it's going to be triggered.
Yeah.
It goes with golems. I just don't know if it's anything more than a pile of stats, because 3/5/5 is amazing when it's early. When it's late, I mean, it's good, but if you're dropping Jade Golems everywhere, you might want to do something else with that three mana spell that gives you
another Jade Golem. 9/9 Jade Golem. Exactly.
I mean, you can play this with it. You can play Ancient of War and then this or something.
You might play this on the Beast deck, maybe. Maybe with the Strangler Tiger or something like that. I don't know.
I think that this card is actually really good because its stat line is not too much of a sacrifice as opposed to other like situational cards.
Mm-hmm.
Like a 3-mana 3/3 is good. Like people have been playing 3-mana 3/3 tech cards for mind control tech and all
those different ones.
And they're adding more. So I think that, you know, I think that a ball of stats for cheaper that's sort of, you know, designed to be have like a prerequisite is actually pretty good. Mm-hmm. I mean, you think about a lot of times like Thing from Below. Even though it has taunt, it's still kind of just a ball of stats, and it gets cheaper as the game goes on. So it is a more powerful card. But like just throwing a 5/5 onto the board next to other big stuff does a lot. The only thing that I'm concerned about is, you know, how many 5+ attack minions are you going to be able to play? Druid doesn't really have many. Current druids don't really play any 5 attack minions outside of Arcane Giant. But even just throwing it next to an Arcane Giant would be pretty good. So I think this card is pretty good. The only thing is that will decks that have a specific plan be able to fit in an extra two, three mana cards in the deck? Because we don't know how refined things are going to be. A lot of times people have foregone playing really good cards just because the deck's too good by itself. And I think that Druid is getting a lot of really good cards.
Okay. Yeah. I think because it doesn't have taunt, it's not nearly as effective as Things from Below, but I could see it being played in the Beast Druid right now. I mean, there's at least four, six cards that I could see it. You could possibly play turn 5. Anyway. Yeah, I mean, it could be Savage, right? And the Savage Combatant, and you could actually get this out on turn 5 with a 2-drop too. So that could be pretty powerful. Anyways, moving on. 6-drop Jade Behemoth Common 3/6 Taunt Battlecry Summon a Jade Golem. So it's like Aya, but with no death rattle. and Aya's pretty good already. So I think Jade Behemoth is pretty solid if you can get like a 4/4 from it or a 5/5 from it. Pretty great stats for 6 mana.
No, I know. I think it's fine in a Jade Golem deck. Obviously, it's terrible outside of a Jade Golem deck. But really, by the time you play this card in a Jade Golem deck, you're not summoning a 1/1 anymore. And if you are at that point where that's all you've done, you've probably lost anyway.
Yeah, and so that's the thing about these are the turns, right? It's the Jade Behemoth and like the 6-mana turn where you actually see that giant swing, I think, when these Jade Golems start coming up. Because you're investing all those early turns getting these cheap Jade Golems. And then when these are like the money turns, I think. And if you're not behind by a ton, you probably win the game at this point. And I just see that happening a lot in Jade Golem decks. Noxious, you don't seem to be as big on the Jade Golem, or you're not thinking it might not be super powerful.
Smashes it. Like if the only drawback to that is like the caveat rather is that if Hunter is good, which it looks like it could be, then Rogue might struggle more. But I think Jade Golem decks just get like priests and Jade Golems just get shut down by Rogue. I feel like they just kind of get Destroyed. Maybe I'm not looking at this right, because I mean Dragon Priest does have a bunch of taunts, and Rogue will use their like a lot of their removal on that kind of.
This is a taunt too.
Base,
right?
And Priest will start. I mean, Druid will struggle against even Dragon Priest, and we're talking like 2/4 with taunt against Druid on turn 2 is like, oh hi, welcome to your 1/1 Jade Golems. Tell him to do nothing rest of the next 5 turns as I drop 3/6s and 5/6s on curve. Like Druid catches up on 6 and 7 mana, not even turns, just because they can Jade Blossom up there and Wild Growth. But I don't like Jade Golems are great. Don't get me wrong, but you need to give them time. And I think unlike the Grimy Goons, which like the hand buff Paladin, what the Grimy Goon deck does is it buffs like it plays on curve, and the stuff that it plays just gets bigger. Druid does like Jade Golem doesn't play on curve. It doesn't play Jade Golems on curve. It plays stuff. But it's not always bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger until they finally get like a 4/4, 5/5. Grimy Goon's Paladin can go 1/1 into 3/3 into 5/5 into 7/7. And like this is turn 6. Druid's like, I drop a 3/6 with a 5/5. Paladin's like, Aldor Peacekeeper, fuck you, and I move in. So it's I don't think Jade Golem's like slower than Grimy Goons and is slower than Dragon Priest, but it's still good for the tempo that it's trying to hit. Like that's the that's the big thing.
All right. TJ, any comments on this card or no?
I just have to see how good Jade Golem decks become.
Yeah,
it's hard to see them in action, because you know this is one of those decks where it's hard to theory crap because the synergies aren't necessarily synergies. It's like, will the meta be too fast for Jade Golems to be able to ramp up? And if so, then this card's not going to be good. But if Jade Golem decks are good, then if this is a 3-mana or a 6-mana 3/6 with taunt, and it summons even like 4/4. That's really good. So it's all going to come down to how fast the meta gets.
I'm hoping it's not good, like, because I think if it ends up becoming good, it's very easy to play. I think it'll be easy to play. It's going to be like a thin decks, right? Like
Want it to be good because I don't want too fast decks to be the Hearthstone I have to live with. I don't want to be like rushed down for the rest of my life.
Well, I mean, it can be good, but not like universally good, like tier one good. Because if it's tier one good, that's all we're gonna see at every one of these.
I wouldn't mind
events,
it being Cthulhu good. Cthulhu good would be fine.
Okay, fair enough. Let's see, Priest 4-mana spell. This is the spell we've been waiting for since pre-beta. Or I think Noxious. This was around during Alpha, right? Greater Heal.
Well, not as this version though. Oh, okay. It was called Greater Heal, and it was 2-mana restore 2 health to the enemy character.
I thought it was like
for each card in the enemy's hand. So if they had 10, you would heal anything for 10 or 20, including their face. So you could Arcanine Greater Heal for 20, and it was.
Oh wow. Okay. I thought it was like a straight heal. But anyways, this one is a rare card. Restore 12 to a friendly character, and it's a friendly character, guys. Okay. Like I don't know how many people keep saying, "Oh my god, this is gonna be amazing in a Shadow Priest and stuff." It's like, no, it is not amazing in a Shadow Priest. You will kill yourself in a Shadow Priest.
It's hard to read past 3 words sometimes.
I mean. Yeah. So this is strictly for yourself. Probably good against aggro or something like that. Yeah, any thoughts, general thoughts on this? It's a pretty straight-up card, boring card, but it's a card I feel like Priest needs, though. It should actually be
in
the arsenal.
12 is a lot of health.
Yeah?
When it comes down to it.
I think it's just pretty good. I mean, it's about on par with Healing Wave, which is played in very slow decks, control decks. Mm-hmm. It's 1-mana more, but you guarantee the maximum amount of heal. So it'll be played in those slow decks, very slow decks that just want to buy time up until a certain point. But other than that, it's just what it is.
Just
there.
You just need, but Priest, man, Priest is like at least moving up in rank in the best heal class. Before it was like 3rd or 4th, it was ridiculous.
Yeah,
Cabal Song Stealer. Oh, go ahead.
I'm sure there will be videos of people trying to play Akanai and then failing.
Of course. Probably on purpose,
wait.
Too.
I cannot wait.
Exactly. All right, last Priest card, Cabal Song Stealer, common, 5-mana, 5/5 body, Battlecry, silence a minion. So this, another silence.
What? A playable
fine.
Silence.
It's a 5/5 for 5 for the silence. It's the best stats for a silence card.
Really good.
It is?
So good. Silence.
So good. Yeah.
There's always stuff to silence.
There is.
Always.
There's a ton of stuff right now. And
you mean Grimy Goon buffs? Well, I guess that's gone. Rip.
If Iron Peak Owl was a 3/3, I'd play it in every deck.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, Spellbreaker sees occasional play, like in some Reno locks. It's and it's a 4/3 for 4, way worse.
Well, Sylvanas is a Sylvanas will be a very problematic card too. I think in a lot.
There's been
a lot
of Sylvanas killing cards in this set.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not gonna cry about it, dude.
Yeah, I'm not gonna cry about it either. Exactly.
She needs a year, a couple years off.
I think Azure Drake and Sylvanas are like way too played. These two neutral cards should probably just get not deleted or changed because they're fine. Just give them alternatives, basically, like in those slots in those decks. Yeah. I think they're doing a lot of that in this set.
Yeah, agreed. Okay, guys, well, we're going to take just like a break, not actually like a commercial break or anything like that. We're just going to take a quick break, give a shout out to our Patreons and our iTunes folks. Those of you that might not listen, know, actually, because you guys don't listen to the show, you watch the show every week. We are available on iTunes and Google Podcasts a lot, and we actually have a good number of folks that do listen to it. Or download it via that route. And I want to give a shout out to a few folks that have left a 5-star review and a nice review. Dusty1982, J-Man is cool, and Shakam Marul. Big thanks to you guys for doing that. And if you guys also do enjoy the show via iTunes, go ahead and do that, because that helps the show a lot. It helps people find Value Town when they're searching for an Hearthstone podcast. So, yeah, that's very, very cool of them. And also our patrons, those of you know that this show is completely supported now by the Patreon. So if you guys enjoy the show, want the show to continue in 2017, please go out and make a pledge. We do have some awesome patrons already. Our big legendary producers, Mike T and Louis G. Always a big thanks to those guys. And a few others, want to give a shout out to Radan, Gary D, William C, Johnson C, Paul H, Andrew R, James R, Grant A, Jim G, and Lance B. Big shout out to those guys. And we did meet our milestone. Like I said before in the beginning, I think we met our Smile segment milestone. So we got to keep our promises, of course. No broken promises. Actually, we still need to do an episode where we answer all your questions too from the previous one. But this one we can do this week. So here's how it's going to work. We're going to give about 20, 30 seconds. We got to give everybody our best smiles, all right?
Cool? 20 seconds,
guys. You can like go from pose to pose, but you know we got
like jazz hands or something.
No, keep the same pose. No. I will not be content with a pose change.
Come on,
thou right. must hold thy smile.
All right, everybody ready? Here we go. Starting now. Enough. Guys, that's not even a smile, Dan.
Oh my god, I can't smile.
Look at Noxious. Noxious has it down. All right. Okay, that's gonna be our pro. There we go. TJ knows how to do it. That's the way. Okay, guys, that's gonna be our first attempt at the smile segment. I promise we'll make it.
If I smile, I just look disturbed.
Well, when you smile like that, you do look disturbed.
That's how I look, though.
My bad. Okay, next, let's see what we got. Oh, we actually have a card from one of our patrons that from Mechatorp, kind of a patron Mechatorp. He's got a card that's called Kidney Shot. Oh, yeah. I like that.
Yeah, it's a spell in World of Warcraft, actually, where it stuns an enemy for a certain amount of seconds, and it combos.
There you go, exactly.
The higher your combo, the better the stun.
Yeah, so he just has it strictly as stun a minion for a turn, combo stun a minion for 2 turns, so a rogue card here.
Freeze, I
one
guess.
Mana.
It's like a freeze
it's
effect.
It's kind of like freeze, but you can have it for 2 turns, which is kind of
Yeah, I mean, a two-turn cool. freeze is pretty good. You would need Jesus, cards,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, this card is insanely good.
Yeah.
No, good card.
Yeah, this is actually a really good card for 1 mana.
The art, it's just like, eh.
This is
Kidney Shot.
Body blow.
It's the same artist, Kidney Shot from Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, like, he just scaled it up.
Everything.
He just supersized it, like, no cares.
Awesome. See, you should probably just like literal. Just have like a medical diagram of an actual kidney.
Yeah.
Just all exactly. signs kidney, just like the part.
The fist there. That's just like, don't zoom it in as much and just put like a kidney right at the bottom.
Oh, man. No, that would
especially like
classic.
From far away, that card would look great.
Oh, man. Big shout out to Louis G for sending that in. And hopefully, that's good stuff.
Now we have definitely. A new word. There's a new word, stun.
Stun. Actually, yeah, that should have been a keyword.
Which means we could do synergy with stun that we don't do with freeze.
Okay.
Yeah, sure. Like, it could be a different keyword where you don't synergize it in, like, in Mage, but the word stun can be applicable to rogues where they have, like, a dagger that deals more damage to stun minions or blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
Or they don't retaliate. Here, how about that? A stun mechanic for rogue where the minions you attack that are stunned don't retaliate.
No, that would be cool.
That's a way to self-heal and sustain.
Yeah, I think so. Cool. Good stuff. Anyways, thanks, Lushi, for sending that in. And again, guys, if you want to support the show, go to patreon.com/valuetown and make a pledge. You know, that, again, that helps us continue on with the show. And we actually have another milestone, which actually I haven't even talked to you about it yet, Noxious, which is, if we meet that milestone, we can make some cool voice lines for you guys that you can use for, you know, your ringtones or anything like that. We'll record your favorite Hearthstone voice line. And you can have you can have us carrying around in your phone wherever you go.
I see how this is.
Well, are you going to audition some? Because we need to see which ones you do the best.
Oh, like, okay. We have to have some samples. Okay. We might have to do something.
Flame wreath faceless.
Oh my
god. I mean, let's get some auditioning going.
Dude, I don't even know what it is. What is it? I don't even know it off the top of my head.
Does it say in the light or something?
Is it in the light?
What says what?
The flame wreath faceless.
What does he say? I mean, I can picture it.
He screams, "GG!"
GG! Anyways, take a look at that, guys. But we're going to continue on here. We don't have that much time, so we got to go through these cards a little bit quicker than we did the first half.
Okay, the lightning round.
The lightning round. Here we go. Mage. Got a lot of freezing things. Starting off the freezing potion. 0 mana, freeze an enemy spell. What do you guys think? Maybe makes Shatter better?
Well, it makes Cabal Chemist worse.
Yeah, that's true. Any potion, right? Trying to find a potion.
If you need it in a jiffy, you need an answer to something. Just, like, freeze. Freeze a 7-7.
Value-wise, good enough? Can you see playing a freeze potion in your deck?
I guess I'm playing Temple Mage,
but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't see it, like, being enough, you know, like when you can have something like a Frost Nova or
it's one of those cards that's gonna be cool when you discover it at the right time. I don't think it's one that you're gonna really put in your deck all that often. There's a lot of cards like that. That's why I like Discover with spells, because some of those lousy spells are just the right one for the moment.
Yeah, true. Okay, next up, Cryomancer. 5 mana, 5/5, battle cry, gain +2/+2 if an enemy is frozen. So you can kind of combo it, I guess, with freezing potion common. What do you think, TJ?
I don't know. It's doesn't really fit in any decks is the thing. It's
we're trying to get this freeze thing going, right? So
maybe
if that gets there.
I guess like Frost Nova plus this, it's a 5 mana 7/7, which is decent. You can just like chain freezes together, which is like the only way I could see it. I could see being played in like a freeze /burnish deck, but it's like a little slow. If it was like a 3 mana 3/3 that gained +2/+2 if an enemy is frozen, then it would, I think, see a little bit more play because it'd be more flexible. You could play with Blizzard, for instance.
I mean, you can play it now with Water Elemental on 4, right? You freeze the enemy face and bam, you drop 7/7.
Yeah, but
it's just really inconsistent.
How often does it happen?
Yeah, that's the issue.
I mean, no. I guess that makes more sense.
Bad.
I think it's more consistent already.
I mean, it will happen, but is +2/+2 really all that exciting for the sporadic nature of
the
effect?
Yeah. Here's the question. Do you play this over Azure Drake? Like, you're playing Tempo Mage, you're trying to curve into Faceless Summoner on 6, you want to get just the biggest body you can every single turn that has potential synergy. You have Water Elemental on 4, Faceless Summoner on 6, and you have this on 5. Do you play Drake still, or do you stack it on top of this and you start your curve a bit later than an aggro mage? Like, do you tempo earlier, later?
It's a totally different deck, in my opinion.
It is, but that's my question, is like, do you ever...
I could see playing this over Azure Drake.
That's all I want to know. Yeah. Is Azure Drake going to potentially get phased out of many decks?
Because I don't think so.
Yeah.
But maybe. Yeah. It's possible.
Okay, well, let's go more lightning. Let's go more lightning around here. All right, Greater Arcane Missile, good or bad? 7 mana, shoot 3 missiles, random enemies, deal 3 each. Epic.
Bad but cool.
Bad but cool? Yeah.
Yeah, bad but cool is fair.
Bad but cool. Yeah.
I'm right there with you. The Trolden video, man. That's just...
Bad but cool.
It's not even a great, like, token cleanup, simply because you'll end up wasting damage when it hits a 1-1.
It is. But if you can get it all to the face, stuff. Man, it's like it is pretty powerful. I mean, it's a lot of damage for sure. Okay, Hunter cards. So Hunter didn't get too much in this whole release, I feel like, out of all the classes. But we've got Hidden Cash, another secret. It's a rare card, 2 mana. After your opponent plays a minion, give a random minion in your hand +2/+2. Good or bad? Mm. I think it's terrible.
Not bad. Good enough.
Yeah, it's like definitely not good enough. Compared to the other secrets. Yes.
I mean, I could see this in like a mid-range deck where you play Cloaked Huntress in a non-secret Hunter deck and you try to buff the Kodo because it's still a really sick tempo play.
But of course, pretty much any secret's good when it's free.
Yeah, that's the point. Like, you wouldn't play a secret Hunter with this, but you might play a like mid-range deck that has secrets in it instead. But,
yeah.
I mean, is it better than all the other alternatives?
All right, Smuggler's Crate. 1 mana. Give a random beast in your hand +2/+2. You had to play a more beast than are being played right now. I don't like it. I mean, it's okay.
I don't think it's good enough.
I mean, it stat-wise actually should be decent, but you'd have to play
pack,
a lot.
I think this is busted with the Kodo and the Rat Pack.
Yeah,
with Rat Pack.
That's true.
The 2/2, like the Rager that buffs stuff in your hand and the 3/3 that buffs stuff aren't beasts. Like, they can't even soak up that buff. So you're guaranteed to hit the pack or the Kodo if they're there. I think that's much better than... You're giving them credit.
That's fair.
That's good. I mean, like 2/2 for one.
You have to think about Rat Pack at all times now.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rat Pack is a big deal. Holy crap.
Okay, Alley Cat. 1 mana, 1/1 beast. Battlecry, summon a 1/1 cat. Common.
Real good.
Yeah.
Really? I like Place Fiery Bat to an extent.
I like Living Roots, too.
You're not going to have both of them.
Living Roots beast style.
It's like Possessed Villager, but...
Yeah. No.
But it's got beast synergy.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of it. I like Death Rattle more than I like Upfront.
Well, I mean, it does like the same thing almost. Like, there's not too many situations where you'd opt that you'd want the Death Rattle as opposed to, except in situations where you're trying to play it on AoE. But like, like as a hunter, you're not really trying to play on AoE.
Yeah,
you're just trying to hit him, in the face.
Get two exactly on turn one.
Get him 2 cats.
Okay. All right. Let's move on to what's next. Here we go. Warrior. Warrior's got 3 here. It's Sleep with the Fishes, which is a picture of Murloc, but there's no Murloc affiliation to it. 2 mana, epic. Deal 3 damage to all damaged minions.
Yeah.
Good or bad?
I like
good
that
bad.
A lot, personally.
I think enough control warrior you can
fine,
make it work.
I think.
Yeah, it's.
I mean, there's a lot of ways amazing. To do 1 damage to damage things.
Yeah.
But is it good enough to make those kind of warrior decks? I'm not sure.
I think it could be. I mean, it's really good in combination with like Ravaging Ghoul.
It makes for full board.
It's sort of like a Flame Strike for 5 mana that costs 2 cards that leaves you with a 3/3 sort of thing.
Yeah.
So. I think it could see play, and it definitely could be in like those crazy removal warrior decks that all they're trying to do is stall out.
Exactly.
And then it's one of those cards that, hey, you're happy, at least for, the next 4 months, turning into a legendary later on in the game with Elise
right.
in those removal decks. So I like it. I think it's pretty cool. If only there was some Murloc attached to it, because it's got a Murloc on it.
I know, exactly, like, right? There's like nothing.
Turns all damages into Murloc.
The Murloc is chained, dude. He's chained and falling in the depth of the ocean. He's dying there, dude. He's just going to choke to death for the rest of his life.
He's just going to choke. Okay.
He's going to starve to death. I mean, can't Murlocs breathe underwater?
Yeah,
but I think humanoids and they have to go back up occasionally, unless they don't.
Okay,
I'm not sure. Are they fish or amphibians?
Guys, we're going to go on forever from this Murloc. All right, 2 mana, Hobard Grapplehammer, legendary 2/2, Battlecry, give all weapons in the hand and deck +1 attack.
Aggro Warrior is the new cancer.
Exactly.
Aggro
Face Warrior, baby. Face Weapons Warrior.
No, it's a good card because, I mean, they've instituted other cards like the Pawnbroker that encourage you to play more weapons, and this goes right along with it.
Yep. Naga 2. Yep.
And 2/2/2 is not that bad. I mean, it's
still a minion. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like it's a 2 or like a 4/1/1 or something stupid.
Meh.
Rather armor up.
Oh my god. All right, Public Defender. 2 mana, 0/7 taunt. What's up with these 0/7s, man?
That's good.
Common. Yeah, what'd you guys think about this one?
He's a public it actually defender. Saves you that 7 health.
Yeah, it
Unlike
does.
Unlike the one earlier where you're encouraged to remove it, but doesn't necessarily...
They don't have to, yeah.
Yeah. I think this is fine.
It's a bolster card, everybody. No.
Bolster deck is not happening.
I know. Bolster deck is not happening.
Amazing. This card's amazing.
God. All right.
It's like 2 mana, heal 7.
I like how we have a whole bunch of lawyer.
I know. I like it.
Defender. We have the paladin one.
Exactly. Oops.
Make the lawyer tribe.
All right. Here we go. Naga Corsair. So another weapons card. It's a pirate, too, but this is a non-class card. 4 mana, 5/4. Battle cry, give your weapon +1 attack. So you have to have it armed, and unlike the other one. We saw this one in the playthrough. It's okay. I mean, 5/4 body, pirate, right?
It's a fine in arena. It's not gonna be good enough to make the constructed decks, I don't think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Unless there's critical mass, I don't see it. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Next up, Rathian, 6 mana, legendary, 4/5, taunt, battle cry, draw cards until you draw one that isn't a dragon. Custom made for a dragon deck.
It's a fine card because in the worst case scenario, it's still a 4/5 taunt, draw one card.
Exactly.
So it's like, at the worst, it's 4.5 mana, 4/5 with taunt.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Which I think it's fair. It's fair value right off the bat, I think.
This card is a new curator. You play a curator deck. This has, like, this is your 6-drop, curator's your 7-drop, and you just keep going to town. This is good stuff.
And it's targeted for the dragon. It isn't that weird, draw one of each of these things.
Yeah. But it's still like, it's like, Lurita's 6 mana, 4/5, draw one card. Like, always one card, and possibly more. Like, that's what's really good about it.
Exactly. And the draw one card already, I think, is fair. So, it's pretty close. No, maybe it's still undervalued on just a little undervalued, but the taunt gives it a little bit more. So, yeah.
I like the taunt, because if you're doing this, you're playing kind of a slow strategy.
Yeah,
and having that taunt, it adds a little bit to the card.
Okay,
a curator.
Definitely a curator. Okay, definitely in a dragon deck here. Okay, next up, Genzo, legendary, the shark, 4 mana, 5/4. Whenever it attacks, both players draw until they have 3 cards. So Jeeves 2.0, in my eyes, and it's got actually a threat too to it with being 5.
Like I've gone back and forth on this.
Yeah,
I think you need a very specific deck to make this work.
Oh, of course. You gotta be spending your cards.
Yeah, yeah. You really have to go all in on that strategy. You didn't really see a ton of Jeeves outside of very, very, very specific
mech decks.
I don't think it's gonna happen, but it might. I could be wrong on this one.
Yeah. DJ, what do you think?
I don't know. It's just sort of I think it's like a better statted Jeeves. But I still don't think that it'll see too much play, because even Jeeves was fringe in very fast decks.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
I think fast decks, I don't know if they're going to be rewarded nowadays, just given how big of a swing mid-game a lot of these decks will be. Noxious?
Yeah, I think, again, this is like strictly for the fast decks, and even then, not every single one of them will play it. Like, it's just... Yeah. I think if, like, I have a question about it, though, for fatigue, right? Like, the opponent has, like, 1 card or 2 cards in hand. You play this, you attack. What the fuck? Do they die?
Yeah, I think so. But actually, so, okay, oh, no, I mean,
Jeeves kill you? Does Jeeves kill you?
Jeeves kill you?
If you have 2 cards in hand and you play Jeeves, do you die?
Oh. If you have 2 cards in your hand and you play Jeeves.
And no cards in the deck.
Oh, no cards in the deck. Oh, yeah. I think you do. Yeah, you do. You do draw.
So this will kill your opponent if they have no cards. And like,
yeah, I can't remember playing Jeeves in that situation, but...
Yeah.
That's fun.
You do draw, though.
I think you would.
So, anyways, TJ's got to go, guys. So, he's got the... I think the Hearthstone Academy next.
Yep.
Which he's going to be
Skype,
doing.
Skype Academy. Yep.
Skype Academy, yeah. Skype. So it's going to be a kind of cool thing that he's doing where there's going to be 2 players coaching and coaching random people, I think, and having them go against each other. So thanks, TJ, for popping on. You know, like as thanks, long guys. As we've had you. So, yeah, any quick shout-outs you want to do before you take off?
Thanks for having me on the show. I really appreciate it a lot. Like talking about new cards, it's always fun. Thanks very much for that. Also, after Value Town, don't leave now. After Value Town, you guys can look at my Twitter later and check it out. But the thing that I'm doing, it's pretty cool. But thanks, Chan Man. I really appreciate what you do for the community, man. Nobody ever gives Chan Man a shout out, but Chan Man deserves a lot of credit. All right, see you guys.
All right, see ya, buddy.
Peace, man.
All right.
Well, that was nice.
Yeah, that was definitely nice. I'm gonna have to fix the cams for a second here, guys. But I guess we can keep talking while I do that. You can't see us, though, but we can keep talking.
We saw the next card, though.
Yeah, we did see the next card. We can look at the next card.
What was that?
It's right here.
Sergeant Sally's next.
Yeah, Sergeant okay. Sally, right? You can see it real quick while I'm changing this. Sergeant Sally is a 3-mana, 1/1 legendary death rattle. Deal damage equal to this minion's attack to all enemy minions. Okay, yeah. So sure. what do you think about this? This is good card removal.
What I like about the card is it's not just one of those cards where the stats before it count. You can buff it with abusive before doing a board clear. You can use power overwhelming and make a crazy, almost like a shadow flame. But a lot of things you can do with it. It's one of those cards that's flexible, not like a 2-of or anything. Well, it's a legendary, so you're not going to have a 2-of, but I think it's pretty cool.
I think this card is just like the power overwhelming is the first thing that pops to mind. Then there's Inner Rage, which also kind of works. If you played with Inner Rage, then you can also use maybe like Whirlwind and Sleep with the Fishes in the same deck to get like massive AoE potential. The more very high damage AoE you get in the deck on top of Brawl, for instance, the more likely you are to just beat Zoo to the ground. If you play Whirlwind already in your deck and you play Sleep with the Fishes, I mean, Zoo's dead. Like, whatever it is, or even Shaman's dead. Like, what the hell are they supposed to stick when you just go Whirlwind, Sleep with the Fishes, or even Sergeant Sally, Inner Rage? Like, that's a 3-mana combo that kills Feral Spirits, almost kills Totem Golem, and kills Nettle Trog. If you haven't even played Fiery War Axe, I mean, this is just kind of a wet dream. I don't know if it's going to see play with Inner Rage, but, like, it's definitely a good way to stall against Shaman without, you know, having to worry too much about lacking removal. So it's just a lot of conditional removal. I like the fact that this card is just playable, though. I don't know. I feel like we need more cards like this where you have to meet a certain condition for it to be good. I think that's what Hearthstone needs more of.
Because there's a lot of ways to play with this card, which is what makes it neat.
Well, yeah. It's powerful, too. I think it's really the power level. You know, if we're going to have like really powerful cards, we need the conditions to match that, or, you know, like the ability to reach that or not. And I think they've been doing a good job with it with this release. Let me bring up Sergeant. Where is it?
Lost forever.
There it is. All right. Sorry about that. Okay. Yeah. So what kind of, I mean, which classes do you think will utilize this the most? Like just Reno, just basically.
Yeah. I mean, I think Warlock is just going to use the hell out of this just by default, since it's running, power overwhelming.
Mm-hmm. Really, any deck that's fishing for a little more removal and has the ability to buff this or whatever, I think I still don't know if it's good enough, but it's really cool, and I'm gonna experiment it with a lot of decks, I think.
Just yeah, to try. I mean, the first day, I think I'm going
to
go through.
I played Bolvar longer than he had any right to be played. I like cards.
Oh, God. You're that guy.
I just like Wrath of the Lich King. What can I say?
You're that guy, the one that they're designing this game for.
All right. The game's crap.
All right, next up, we've got two cards. I think they're almost like the meme cards of the set here. We've got Mayor Noggin Fogger, and we've got Weasel Tunneler. So,
oh man,
let's start with the Weasel Tunneler. He's like the mascot, I think, of this set. He's a 1-drop, 1/1 beast. Death Rattle. Shuffle this minion into your deck's or opponent's deck, and it's an epic card. And when I looked at this card and I was reviewing this card, I could have sworn there was some kind of joke I was missing the entire time I was looking at this. But the more and more I looked at it, I'm like, no, I don't think there's any joke I'm missing from this, at least not yet. So he's a cute little guy, but...
I mean, there is a bit of a phallic reference here.
Yeah, okay.
It's just a weasel, right? Like the word play on weasel, where like you can call someone a weasel, and it's like you're a little sketchy dude that does sketchy things, and this guy's an actual weasel. So it's like, okay, good job, dude. Good job. It's like playing on that word. So the fact that you can dilute the value of the opponent's deck is really cool. Like, I like that you can add cards they don't want to their deck.
Yeah.
Kind of like, if you could force like a gang up on an opponent's minion, like Beneath the Crowns against Reno decks, right?
Yeah.
Like this is the dream. They play Reno, you go Beneath the Crowns and watch them die. It never happens, but it could. And Weasel Tunneler is one of those cards that you can just slap in a deck and maybe it works. Maybe it does work.
Yeah, it's just like a very subtle way of making it a little bit harder for them, right?
I like to think that maybe it's setting like a little tone where Blizzard's kind of thawing on the concept of allowing you to mess up someone else's deck. because
plan,
mm-hmm. and because they've been really hesitant about that. So I hope it's like the start of a trend. And you see, when they draw this, they don't get like a card like they do with the ambushes. It's not a good card right now, but if we have more, maybe deck debuff becomes a deck.
Deck sometime. Debuff.
Deck disruption, whatever. Like, if you just stack terrible cards in the, like, you know, the Iron Juggernaut, right? Like, that card was awesome. Iron Juggernaut was awesome.
Yeah, it was. I like
the thing is, it cycled itself, so it wasn't as awesome as it had to be, because you dealt 10 damage and then they still replaced the card. But like, if Ambush did not cycle itself, that card would be like really disruptive, because they would just draw the card. That's their draw for the turn.
That's the turn.
Pass, and they play it. They get a you get a 4/4, and they just do nothing. And this card just this is it. Like, they draw it, and that's all they get this turn. They don't get an extra card from their deck while spawning you a Weasel Tunneler or whatever the case may be. It's just literally that. Now, I think for this to be good enough to be played, it would have to read something like, when you draw it, you just summon it for your opponent, right? Like, if the opponent draws it, or like, it shuffles a Weasel summon in the opponent's deck, and when they draw that, well, that's all they get, and they just summon you another Weasel Tunneler so you can shuffle it back in.
I kind of
need is a...
Well, go ahead.
Sorry. What we need is like a Poison Seeds that turns the whole board into Weasel Tunneler.
Oh my god, that would be
crazy. If? Oh my god.
That would be awesome.
I want this to be the new Mad Bomber.
The new Mad Bomber?
I want them to go like an even, like, another Weasel type thing that just shuffles itself in and does something else, right? Like, instead of just being a 1/1 that dies and goes in the deck, like, it's got another ability, and it's maybe a 2-mana 2/2 that has the same abilities, like Weasel Infiltrator, and then they have like all these Weasels every single expansion to keep getting bigger and bigger.
It's like the new Jade Golem.
Like,
can you imagine if Jade Golems were Weasels? Oh my god, they missed such a great opportunity there. Could have been the Weasel family, just... dude. A total Weasel family.
Anyway, this is like my new meme. This card is like the face on this guy is iconic now. Like, he's to me, so, this is just another troll card, and I love it.
He's so cute.
You have
man.
The totally emote cute. Already. Where is it?
Yeah, totally.
I've already made the emote.
I you know what? I wish the Death Rattle. I was telling Dan earlier. I wish that the Death Rattle was give two copies. Then you would totally screw your opponent's Reno deck. You know, something like that.
Mm-hmm. That'd be but I mean, awesome. You can play Baron Riven there. You can gang it up to put more in your deck. Like, the problem that I had with it initially is, and this is still my biggest gripe with the Weasel Tunneler, is that it doesn't send a Weasel Tunneler in their deck. It sends the literal card. So you can't like Fang Death it and Hunter and Wild or Princess Uhuron in a live build. And even like Unearthed Raptor, right? If you copy the Death Rattle, it sends the Raptor in like when it dies. It doesn't send like a Weasel Tunneler. And that's what sucks.
Yeah.
That's like the one, the fact that it's using the object of the card, the physical little Weasel, kind of annoys me. But I mean, it makes sense. It's the little Weasel.
They could easily change that text if for whatever reason.
But I mean, like, it makes no sense that the Raptor would just go, all right, I'm summoning a Weasel.
That's true.
Let me just pump out a Weasel. Like, what?
Yeah, it says that shuffle a Weasel Tunneler into your opponent's deck.
Yeah, it would be cooler.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, well, let's talk about the other one, which I think is the new Yogg-Saron, but it's not good. Unlike Yogg-Saron was like crazy good. This is the Mayor.
Yogg-Saron is more fun.
Yeah.
As a fun card goes, it's not as fun. It's just random stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, did anyone play Mogre the Ogre for fun? I was like,
Well, it wasn't. I mean, it was 50%. I mean, yeah. This one is like, there's no question. This is total meme fest here. Mayor Noggenfogger, it's legendary, 9-mana, 5/4. All targets are chosen randomly. So if you want to kill this dude, you're going to have a very hard chance of killing. I mean, best case, I guess if you have a weapon, you can't hit yourself. So best case is 50%. But your spells are like 33% chance of killing this guy when he's the only guy on the board, right? Baseline. So, I can just see guys just constantly trying to kill them, and they just cannot kill them, and it's just
I can't wait for the meme fiesta of like a Confessor Paltrus and Reno Priest and brings this out in the competitive environment, and people are like, what the fuck is going on?
freaking like, Burn Mage just keeps freaking hitting
himself. Yeah, like, it doesn't know what's happening. It happens to like, it's just trying to ping something. It's like, ping myself. Wait, what? Fuck, I'm dead. Just like, everything is random. If you attack with a minion, it's random as well. The only problem is the only issue with this card is that it still checks for legality, right? It's not gonna go like, oh, I'm gonna swing at my own minions with my guys. Like, it never has that misdirection potential.
Right.
Which, that's what bogs me. Like, that's what bugs me, that is. Because I wish this guy had at least, like, with this ability, the way that it's designed, had a much higher stat line. Like, make it a Nozdormu type guy with, like, 9 mana, 8, 8. Nobody plays him because he's still shit, but, you know, it's fun. At least a 6-6. Do something.
Yeah, it's hard at 5-4 to... I mean, yeah. It exists. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, but that's the whole thing. If it lasted even longer than... If you made this thing a 6-6, he would never die. Like,
I mean, I've thought about, you know, remember like the first day that I came onto the show with the new expansion, we talked about Aviana, Kuhn, the whatever his name is.
Yeah.
And then you play like a bunch of C'Thun stuff and you kill
crazy
people.
Combo. Sure.
You could just go like Aviana, Kuhn, this dude and let them deal with this crap. Like, I just deal on my board. And if they don't have like a Fellfire potion on Dragon Firepot at that point in the game, you kind of win. But it's super, super bad in general.
People weren't... Wait, so if you play Kraken,
mm-hmm.
that target, that initial target is random, right?
Right,
yeah, it is. So you'd have to almost play Rag to, like, just try to remove this bastard. Otherwise, it's...
Flamestrike, Fellfire Potion...
Yeah, Well, Flamestrike is a good one. Yeah, Flamestrike's a good one. Potion's
too much
good
AoE
one
in the game, I think.
Using it just to kill this guy. That would be crazy.
And it's just so expensive to invest.
Yeah.
Why, Blizzard? The worst part is Noggin Fogger is like the iconic representative of Gadgetzan and WoW. Like, and I'm talking iconic. He had a potion that turned into a skeleton, did all sorts of cool things, and like, this is it? Like, this is my Gadgetzan icon turned into a meme? It's just not even meme-y enough for me to meme with. Like, it's missing some meme factor in stats to just make it remotely playable. Yeah.
It'd be fun if it did illegal things. Like things that targeted only a minion, targeted a hero somehow. But then, of course, there's some really weird potential to that. It starts crashing.
You start opening up all these different, breaking all these rules and whatnot.
Flame Lance goes to the face and BattleNet is no longer responding to Windows.
Okay. All right, guys. Well, that's going to be it, actually, for all the cards. We got through them. We kind of had to go with lightning round a little bit there, but... tomorrow is the big release. It's going to be in the morning here, I think.
Yeah, I think it's pretty early. Yeah, it's actually in the afternoon. With the time, but
So what time?
I think it's going to be 11 o'clock early here. I think it's 2 o'clock Eastern in the European.
I thought I saw like 9:30 a.m. or something.
Yeah, so 9:30 on the West Coast probably, and then...
like 12:30, 1 p.m. on East Coast. Coast.
Yeah, something like that.
I mean, first they'll Nax will be out, and then they'll release this.
Yes, of course. You have to release Nax every expansion. If you don't release Nax every time, then Nax is not out.
So that's going to be exciting times. I have to actually wait until my daughter gets home, because she opens all my packs. So I got to at least wait until...
Oh, God, that's nasty.
I know. I'm going to be sitting there just, like, watching you guys playing while I'm just, like, sitting there with my packs, just twiddling my thumbs, like, God. Just building husks of decks that I'm hoping to
add. Last expansion, I got 3 boogie monsters before any other legendary.
I got 7, dude. Like,
I got 2. I got 2 repeats of boogie monster. It fucking sucked,
it was
dude.
So bad.
It definitely sucked. Okay, we actually got some email questions that we can cover. And those you got questions, go ahead and email those to valuetown@chanmanv.tv. And we'll try to get to those as quickly as we can. But we have some from last week as well as some new ones. This one's from Adam C. It says, love your podcast. I'm one of the audio listeners, so great that we're getting a chance to include him now with these emails. I'm curious if with the new priest cards coming out in Mean Streets, if you think that confused priest will be a thing. Pre-standard loved all the fun things you could do with a shrink master and pint-sized potion is far more powerful than that. Do you think that is enough to push that archetype? Then we talked about
confuse.
A little bit. Yeah. I don't...
You have so much,
go ahead.
So much better things to do with it.
With pint size? I mean, I think pint size is just playable in, like... With or without Shadow Word Horror, with or without like a minion-based deck, I think Pint Size is just a generally good card. If you consider what Priest tries to do, even if you play a minion-based deck, it's easy trades, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you look at it that way, it's like, oh, I can use my minions, kill yours, and move on. Confuse is just an added perk That you might consider running a one of in like a deck that includes double Injured Blade Master, double Dark Arakoa, double Fellow Soul Fiend, some one drops like Arcane Anomaly and Young Priestess that you expect to have buffed up. It's unlikely to happen, but if it's a deck, then maybe Confused Fist there because you can get a pseudo Bloodlust at times.
Yeah, I think Confuse and the Pint Size Potion, it's all going to be used more for defensive purposes, you know, removal. Or I mean, if Shaman continues to be super good, even the current version of Shaman, Confuse is just good for removing totems, you know, like, or you know, it's just as long as they don't get buffed by Thunderblood.
But the thing is, the Pint Size Potion, it doesn't have a lot of moving parts. Everything in the enemies gets weaker.
Yeah.
Confuse,
yeah,
when you're flipping it, then you kind of need certain board states. And
yeah, that's what it makes it interesting. That's why I like the card so much.
It's a cool card. Yeah. But it's just, if we're talking actual playing, I don't think it's going to happen.
Well, with Pint Size, you can play it.
Yeah, with Pint Size, you can almost remove everything.
You kill
things. Yeah,
you kill a Shaman board completely. It's gone. Like, yeah. Everything's zero. Rip.
So, yeah, I think it does make Confuse much more viable, which before it was not, like, pretty much only for, even you're just playing around trying to make some aggro. I think you made a Murloc deck, right, that had Confuse that was pretty decent at one point. I don't know how you got with it, but it was decent. So, yeah. I mean, I think Confuse could be considered, maybe even, probably not in Arena. I don't think I would use that in Arena. Deck. Next up we've got a question from Keenan M. Let's see. Hey, Champion and guests, I'm wondering what you need to see in order to say that Mean Streets of Gadgetzan is successful. Something like a certain number of playable cards or new archetypes? Or does a dethroning of the current top meta decks make it good? Definitely the first thing. There has to be new archetypes or new deck designs just altogether. Dethroning the top decks, I mean, that's just going to naturally happen. That would be part of being successful, is changing the meta enough that the top decks are just not good or good at period anymore. But basically both of those things. I don't know if we're going to see that many new archetypes, but we'll definitely see mid-range Shaman coming down a little bit.
You just want to see strong decks have counters that are a little more dependable.
Yeah.
That aren't just terrible at everything else.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Like, I feel like, to me, a successful expansion would not take too much. Like, as long as they give me... I just want to see the curve slow down. Like, one of the things that I see a lot of people bitch about is, oh, Curve Stone sucks. We play on curve. You know what card games do? You play on curve. That's what every card game is about. The problem with Hearthstone is I don't have... You remember when we talked about Wrath of Gods and Magic? 4 mana, kill all minions. Kill everything, right?
Yeah.
4 mana, Twisting Nether. You said that's really too good. And the reason it's necessary in a card game is if you hit the curve on 1, 2, and 3, and there is no mechanic to stop you, the game is shit. It's literally bad, because all you do is play 3 turns, escape, concede. Play 3 turns, escape, concede, because the rest of the game almost doesn't matter. And in this expansion, I feel like the Grimy Goons deck, the Jade Golem deck, the 3 mana 5/5s that require 5 attack minion to be enabled, a rogue minion that becomes a 9/9 if it has you have a big weapon, those are pretty sick curve plays that they're enabled. And we're talking about a 6 mana 9/9. You can't argue that that's a sick curve play. The thing is, there's a little bit more nuance to it, and it's slower than 1, 2, 3, 4. Like, curving 1, 2, 3, 4 is the bane of just every card game if there's no Fellfire Potion or Dragonfire Potion in the game. It's just bad.
Well, that was the biggest... That was the biggest problem with Hearthstone recently, is because classes like Shaman, classes like Paladin, they just gave too much power in those turns to specific classes. You know, it wasn't equal across the board, and that's why we saw certain classes oppress the meta, or at least we just saw it dominate in the meta. What's cool about the cards that we see right now with the Grimy Goons, and even with Jade Golem, even I've been saying that I think Jade Golem's going to be so good, and even with the Druid and whatnot, is that you have to choose. You know, like, you have to choose what you want to do with your early turns, and that includes building decks too. You either build decks where you're investing for the future, and that's probably been the most viable than it's ever been. Like, if there was ever you know, in terms of minions, right? Every time they came out with a miscaller or something like that, it was always just not even close to being viable. So yeah. This is the first time.
You have
time.
To have counterplay. You have to have counterplay, simply. You don't want just so many situations, as Noxus said, where it's 1, 2, 3, 4, and you're just dead. Like Undertaker Hunter. Oh, it's just over.
Well, there's no choice either. You just play those cards. Like, when people build the deck, it's like, oh, no, of course I'm playing Spirit Glass. Of course I'm playing Totem Trunk. Of course I'm playing Totem Golem. And you know, like, there's not even a decision to be made when they're just outright the best cards. So I think it's nice that these cards, it's debatable now as to what you should do. Like,
you should do it, yeah.
Yeah, Jade Idol, do I play that 1/1 or do I just draw 3 instead? You know, and it's that type of thing. If I make that decision, if I draw 3, then I'm not investing for...
What's the matchup, right? Like, do I need a 1/1 now?
Yeah, there you go.
Is this going to be a control warrior where I just... Let's make more Jade Idols and start making Jade Golems later. There's no rush and I can take my time.
Yeah, which is nice. So, okay, next up, we've got... Ahmed N... And it's titled Beneath the Ground Countering the Cabal. All right, longtime viewer from the lands of the Ancient Watchers. Can you see Beneath the Grounds as a good counter to the Cabal faction as it might mess up their game plan? I know it's a bad card, but we see the Jade faction, their power is a bit in the control area, so I think it's a good addition to the Jade Rogue deck to completely counter Cabal control decks if this becomes a thing. And I think he's referencing mostly the Cabal classes have the Reno, you know, the singleton type of qualifiers for certain cards, right? And if you have a Beneath the Grounds, then obviously you have three of the Nerubians in your deck, and you won't qualify for Reno or for things like Raza and what are some of the other ones that actually have prerequisites for?
Well, there's the new Cruel, the Unchained, but it's a demon based card, Cruel. And you have the Ilya, the Inscriber. And mage,
yes, with
spells.
Yeah. So that definitely throws a wrench in some of those legendary cards that are pretty powerful. But what do you guys think? Beneath the Grounds?
No, it's still not good enough. You're still not going to face enough Reno decks to make that card good.
God, that's the dream, man.
I love if that card was useful. I mean, I'd love if
it's such a cool card still conceptually. It's just we can't make it work. There's like never a deck that works out.
Remember Firebat had that Spider Rogue deck, which was fun just to screw around with, that had all those different...
I don't even remember that.
You remember Spider Rogue? It was very brief. It had, you know, Beneath the Grounds and
what was it called? Spider.
Because he had all sorts of spiders. He had Haunted Creepers and he had...
Spider-ish. They're Abarak.
I see.
Right, so...
It was a theme deck. It wasn't good, but...
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah, so I probably not good enough, but damn, I wish it was good enough to be played. And if it could be more Reno like decks too powerful, then that would be a good reason to do it. Let's see. Next up, we've got Cakber K. He asks, after seeing new rogue cards, do you guys think that the rogue state as a class is terrible as people on Reddit claim? Does rogue really need good board clears and healing cards? He actually sent a bunch of mechatorps, so we're going to have to get to these next week. So you guys think that rogue is in as bad a shape as what a lot of people on Reddit are saying?
No, not even close. Like, not even close. I think rogue is going to be perfectly fine. And I think it might be tier 1. I think Miracle Rogue is going to be tier 1. And the only thing that's going to push it out is like Aggro Shaman or Hunter. That's what I think. Yeah.
I think it's fine. I don't think it's going to be oppressive in any way. But I think there's some interesting things that you can do there.
I think my comment about it is like, I think Rogue will be viable. Just because Miracle's, there's always a place for Miracle. Like, you know, or any way of just... Again, drawing through your deck, and whether it's OTK or, you know, maybe even control in some elements, you know, Rogue will always have that. My only complaint about the whole Rogue class is that it's so heavily based on one card right now, which is Auctioneer. And Auctioneer is not even a Rogue-specific card. And so if Auctioneer, for whatever reason, ended up becoming broken in for another class or whatnot, if Auctioneer ever just changed, I think Rogue would be trash, actually, right now. And because of that, I don't actually see the inner workings of what the rogue should be outside of a combo, you know, miracle OTK type of finish. And that's the only thing that concerns me about rogue. Like, I wish I had a clearer picture, like a very strong foundation of stuff that you could develop another solid rogue archetype off of right now. It's still relying that miracles always is keeping rogue viable. And that's a little scary. And Miracle's been viable forever, guys. Like, when is that going to ever change? That and Freeze Mage. Those are the two things that have been in forever.
I think Miracle Rogue is, like, there are ways to build Rogue that might be more Temple-centric. Like, if you look at the way, and the only reason I say Rogue, by the way, is Tier 1, and I want to go back to that, is just because, again, like, if the metagame slows down at all, right? Like, if we get Jade Golems and Grimy Goons guys, it's just, wait a little bit before they start. They don't go 1, 2, 3, 4. They go like 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And then they start recurving big. That's when you have time to get your combo off. Like the Miracle Rogue deck, I think is going to be fine. It's not going to be touched. I think Blizzard doesn't mind it. What they do try to do right now, and we notice, is like all the pirates. They want to give you a tempo rogue deck that has pirates.
Yeah.
And the pirates have big stats. A 3-mana 5/4 is a big deal if it lives. It's actually a pretty big deal. Mm-hmm. The only thing missing for rogue would be like a really good pirate legendary that you know, kind of puts everything together. It isn't patches. Patches is great, but it's more of an aggro warrior type card where like once it's dead, the problem with patches is that once it's dead, it's not coming back. So it's like a one-time ping in aggro rogue or in tempo rogue. An aggro warrior is like, okay, I go turn one small-time buccaneer. It's a 1-mana 1/2 that, you know, has plus to attack while you have a weapon.
Yeah.
Coin Azoth's first mate. And then I have a 1/3 weapon. I have a 1/1. I have the patches and I have a 3/2. Aggro warrior will destroy you like almost across the board if you're rogue.
Yeah.
And rogue doesn't have that. They have to be more fair and more paced with their gameplay. And I don't think tempo is like, do you really beat other tempo decks as rogue?
That's the problem.
Without like a zero cost sap, right?
Yeah.
Like that's,
it's a relative thing, you know, and I think they are putting some workings in for a pirate deck. And we talked about, you know, just the 9/9 guy, right? Just that it mimics what we see from Dragon Warrior back, you know, like, you know, months ago, but is it better than a dragon? It's not going to be better than A. It's not going to be even the best rogue deck. I mean, people will still play Miracle over this deck. And secondly, it's just not better than all the tempo decks that we've talked about. So it is something, at least, of some kind of theme that they're shooting for. It just doesn't have the power level that's necessary for meta to change, much less the rogue meta. The rogue meta will still sit on combo, like, just drawing because it's so powerful. There's a reason for that.
And the reasons for the power aren't going anywhere.
Yeah, and it's just like,
if only patches had charge.
Charge.
So much better.
Maybe the stealth is their way of doing it, but it's just scary because they have so much ability just to push phase from stealth instead of trying to gain tempo from stealth. So tempo and phases, I mean, a lot of times it's the one and the same, but just getting board control from stealth. So I can see how they're trying to maybe, you know, like massage that or whatnot, you know, using that kind of mechanic, but it's going to be difficult for them to, I think, pull that off completely unless there's some interesting, very interesting text that they're going to be adding for stealth minions. So yeah, I mean, I think it's the one class that's still a little bit, that has a lot of question marks. You know, where the other classes, right? Like, are there any other classes that you'd say has question marks as to what it is?
It's identity?
Yeah, I mean.
Well, Druid, I think, needs the Jade to work out.
I think Druid needs... Druid
beasts.
Doesn't have an identity. No, it doesn't. I think what it needs is Treants or something along those lines.
Oh, that would be cool. The Treants.
It needs, like, a Flood archetype that is specific to it. You know, Warlocks have, like, demons that vary in size. Beasts aren't like, they're just like a mass of stuff, right? Like they're synergistic with one another. You give them beast cards and they work together, but there's no real like cohesion to it that makes sense in Druid the way that it does in Hunter. Like you don't get a Fiery Bat in Druid, you get Ancient Raven. So you're playing like a slower deck and you're trying to be a beatdown deck that curves very, very low to open with. The problem is you don't transition well. You don't transition well at all. Your hero power doesn't scale well like Hunter's do. Like, Hunter's hero power scales magnificently. Like, your late game, the guy has 20 health, you pop hero power, that's 10% of his health pool.
True.
It's like 5%. It's like, it just really...
I mean, it's not, okay, it's not, I agree, it's not like as synergistic as, say, like a warrior hero power and a hunter hero power.
Right.
But, you know, there are enough cards, though, in Druid that people can build strong beast decks right now. And at least that's there. You know what I mean? Like, with a rogue.
No, I mean, it's there. It's just not really part of their identity.
I think ramp is their identity. That's what Druid is basically ramp. That's like the biggest theme that's been pushed the most consistently across the board and is the one that resonates with people. They understand Druid for ramp. Innervate, Wild Growth, Jade Blossom was given.
It's Creed, baby. Slower
ramp.
Yeah.
It's meant to be that more so than I think like Beast aggro. I'm not a big fan of that identity given to Druid, but.
No, but anyways, to answer your question, does that need more better board clears and heal cards? You know, it would give it more options. I mean, Rogue right now without heals, there are some common heals you could use, but they're not great, you know, in most Rogue decks. Board clear, you can make an argument that they should have board clear. I don't know what it is. Like, is Blade Flurry back to what it was? Maybe. I don't know. Maybe.
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so? I still think it's too strong. I mean, the minions well, have gotten
never
stronger.
Away from that kind of archetype. If they brought Blade Flurry back, because it's so good.
Well, Blade Flurry was part of a combo, like a two-turn combo archetype before, right? With the oil and everything. I mean, you don't bring oil back, that's for sure. But Blade Flurry by itself, like, what's it going to do? It's going to do
I mean, if it hits damage, face, like, I mind it. If it hits face, I'm not okay with it. If it hits only minions, like now, I'm okay with it. In the current environment, when Volcanic Potion is a thing, when Dragonfire Potion is a thing, when Fellfire Potion is a thing, like I'm fine with Blade Flurry as it was, as long as it doesn't hit their face.
I agree with
that. You can give them like a 3 damage deadly poison for all I care. I mean, when you're printing Sergeant Sally with PO, you already have Shadow Flame existing, Warlock, and like Rogue's Weapon. The only problem with Blade Flurry is that Rogue's Weapon is always there. And the thing is, well, so what? Dragonfire is always good. You know, Hellfire is always good. Storm's always good. Maelstrom Portal is always good. I've not seen anybody at Blizzard deleting those cards from the game.
Yeah.
So I think Blade Flurry is fine, as long as it doesn't deal phase damage.
Yeah, I agree with that. A lot of cards, like since they nerfed Blade Flurry, the card power has gone up. You know, like Blade Flurry, even how it was before, minus oil. I mean, oil still it'd still be good even today, doing as much damage as it did to the face and then wiping the board and hitting you in the face again. That would still be strong. But without oil, even hitting the face, I still don't think would be just outlandishly strong. But definitely without hitting the face, it would be right on par, I think, with some of the other cards we're seeing. Okay, last question here, guys. 3232 Muffin asks, are there any meme decks or crazy combos you guys are looking forward to trying once the set rolls out? What is the crazy deck that we're looking forward to trying?
First, I want to try, you know, the decks that they enable before you really start going into the weird decks.
Okay, so you want to try out Jade Golem and
Jade Golem, basically.
Yeah, you want to try those first, I think.
Okay.
Am I gonna try out very, very first? We gotta be hipster. I know me and Noxus are generally hipsters, so we probably won't be playing those cards right off the bat. We'll play them after people stop playing them. But I want to try out a lot of the shaman cards.
Okay,
yeah,
that's decent.
They're kind of interesting. Like maybe try like a control shaman right off the bat. Crazy combo. Is there really a crazy combo?
I mean, my crazy combo is Blubber Baron with Double Gangster. Like that combo.
Oh, Double Gangster. Yes, dude.
Like Double Gangster, whatever I play it in, because this is a neutral card. Blubber Baron's a neutral card. So that's a big deal. And I just want to find a way to buff the Double Gangster, make it like a 5/5 or even a 4/4. Play it on curve. It's like a 12/12 versus stats. And because it summoned 3 Battlecry minions, it buffs Blubber Baron 3 times. That's what I want to see. Like, I just want to get a Blubber Baron Double Gangster combo off sometime in the first day, and I'll be moving on from that.
It takes forever. The Blubber Baron takes like 3 buffs for it to even be worth 3.
No, Double Gangster is a single card, 3 buffs. It summons 3 battle cries.
Oh, okay, okay.
That's what I'm saying. That. I wouldn't play this for like the pure, I know. Like Grime Street That's Outfitter right. makes right. it +2/+2, but mostly Double Gangster as well.
Double Gangster is pretty awesome. They even, I mean, Double Gangster was even amazing on the stream that they had. It was like, oh yeah, dude. I forgot about that. That's awesome.
Yeah, dude, I'm gonna play the hell out of that card.
Yeah. Any combo you can think of, Dan, that you would play?
I am going to play a lot of Doppelgangster because it's a cool card. It doesn't really need that much of a buff to be really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, it kind of looks like Castro.
Yeah, rip Castro. But other than that, I can't really think of. I don't think there's a priest combo. What are we talking about? We're totally doing Kun or Raza. Whatever. Kun combo stuff. Come on, dude. You came up with a combo. You gotta try that combo. We gotta be trying.
That is raw jank, though. Like we're talking like the unwinnable with combos. What do you want to play? Like that's. Okay, maybe Pilfered Power. Is there a way to make like Living Roots Pilfered Power work where you get like one mana per unit you have on the board? Piranha Launcher. Fuck it. I'm playing Piranha Launcher Hunter on day one, and I spawn my little 1/1 piranhas, and to hell with life.
Piranha Launchers? Oh my gosh. I forgot about that card.
Okay, well, gentlemen, I actually have to go at 6 o'clock.
All right, guys. We're about done anyway, so why don't we wrap up real quick? Dan, pleasure having you on for the first time, dude. It's always great. We always read the articles. Yeah. Any shout outs you want to do, or where can people find you or your work and everything?
You can find me at ESPN.com. I write about baseball, Hearthstone, some Overwatch. I rant on Twitter about things and stuff.
Awesome. Baseball and Hearthstone, man.
It confuses baseball people and Hearthstone people, so it works out.
Exactly. Awesome. Yeah, definitely check those out, guys. And then Noxious, shout outs.
Shout out to you for putting the show together again. Thanks to you for coming on, Dan. And before I forget, shout out to the devs for what looks to be an amazing expansion. And I mean this, like this time around, we have the full card reveal, and I'm not salty about anything. I'm just like, you know what? I want to play those cards.
Dude,
I'm
if you've pacified Noxious, man, you've done a good job. You've definitely done a great job.
Yeah, I mean, I'll probably be pissed by something in a week, but for now, I have nothing to bitch about. Like, I can see some broken, degenerate things, but I'm like, at least it's a fair card game. I'm getting, like, fair and square beat by card mechanics that don't look like Yogg-Saron.
Yeah.
And that's great. That's great. Just feels good.
Definitely. Yeah, I'm excited, too. So, thanks for doing the show with me today, buddy. And, of course, thanks to TJ and Dan for, of course, being our guests on today. And all of you guys for watching too, and tons of folks, you know, sending in emails as well as the Megatorp. We will be getting to Cacpers. It actually had a bunch of Megatorps. Maybe we should do Megatorp next week.
Sure, we can probably try that if I'm around and you're around for that day.
Exactly. And after we've played the game a little bit, maybe we can come up with some cards that we think would be cool too. also, guys, we have actually episode 100 coming up soon too. So I'm trying to plan out something special for that. Hopefully you guys will partake in that. It's been 100 episodes and shoot, a lot. I don't know how many years now. So it's definitely something worth celebrating. And again, like we've made that milestone and everything looks great so far. And hopefully we can continue on in the coming weeks with just all the Patreon support that we have. But for those of you that missed the show, you'll see the VODs on youtube.com/ChamBMV. Those that on iTunes, you'll find it tomorrow, early on tomorrow, whenever iTunes gets updated. So definitely be on the lookout for that. The Valentine's actually on SoundCloud too, guys, if you didn't know that. So you can check that out on soundcloud.com/ChamBMV. Just all the, actually most of the shows are there too. Because I know there's a lot of folks that listen to podcasts via SoundCloud too, and not on their iTunes. So, you can check that out there. And that's going to be it, guys, for Valleytown this week. So for TJ, who's doing the Academy thing right now, you can check that out. Dan and Noxious and myself, ChamMV, we'll see you next week.
Peace.
Later.